Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Monday, the 1st of December, year of our Lord 2025. Well, today we're going to talk about, should they call it instead of the War Department, maybe the Department of Murder? Because that's what War Pete is doing, and he is, as one analyst said, and I think it's absolutely right, this is worse than a war crime. And many people are pointing out there is no statute of limitations. Yes, if they do it now, Trump can pardon Pete, but there's no statute of limitations. And Pete Hegseth, who's running around talking about Christian nationalism at the same time he is openly committing murder, what a reproach to Christ he is. Where is his accountability partner in this church they planted in D.C.? It's amazing. And we're going to talk about the other side of this, the blowback aftermath when we go to these unnecessary, undeclared wars, and we create groups like this 00 group, the Zeros in Afghanistan. We create James Bond-like Afghan killer teams, the CIA does. We're going to explain to you what that was. We'll be right back. Well, over the weekend, I hope you had a pleasant Thanksgiving. I'm going to come in here firing guns at these murderers. We'll talk about Thanksgiving in a moment. But before we get to that, this is just amazing to me. I got to say, not in my name, not in the name of Christ, which, again, what offends me as much as anything else is how Pete Hegseth wears his brand of Christianity literally on his sleeves, on his arms, on his chest, everywhere else. Boasts about, being a Christian, a Christian warrior, and the rest of it. This is as unchristian as you can get. You can profess Christ, you can take his name in vain, but you're not following him when you thumb your nose at the most basic moral principles that even pagans understand. Come on, Pete. And what's the matter with Doug Wilson? You know, I've seen Doug Wilson, he always likes to do controversial things. He talks about Christian nationalism in a very controversial way. And I always give him some grace because I think I understand what he's doing. He's trying to get people to rethink this. But you need to rethink what you're doing when the guy who is the most high-profile person in your church plant in Washington, D.C. is talking like this. He said, Biden coddled terrorists. We killed them. And this comes after a report from the Washington Post talking about the fact that in the very first strike that they did, and again, I am surprised that it took so long for this to kind of build into a resistance. To me, when I first saw that, it just amazed me. And I thought, why isn't everybody on fire about this issue? when you allow the government to just commit murder without any due process, without any evidence, in violation of all the protocols. When you had, was it Marky Mark out of New Jersey? Was, not Marky Mark, I'm sorry, got the wrong name. Anyway, Mark, I met Mark at Gerald Slinty's Occupy Peace thing, and we talked for a while. Anyway, he explained to us, because he was on a ship, he said, they had very strict protocols about intercepting and about investigating these things, and they had special people that were the ones who were supposed to run this. And so why is all this being thrown out the window? I'll tell you why. It's why I have opposed the war on drugs from the very beginning. Because once you violate the Constitution and you say, we don't have to follow the law anymore, you have started out on a path that is going to take you to this. And this isn't the end. You know, Trump cheered Duterte out of the Philippines. I said this on the very first day as well. Cheered him when he was doing extrajudicial murders of people that they suspected of being drug dealers. You think somebody's a drug dealer? Fine, just kill him. He's now at the International Criminal Court in The Hague because he doesn't have the kind of power that the U.S. government has to keep these people out. But there may be people in the U.S. government that may do this. They may do it because of political reasons. They should do it. They should put these people in prison. Pete Hegseth belongs in prison, not the Pentagon. So anyway, he defiantly dismissed a report on Friday, alleging that he ordered no survivors be left after the first military strike on a drug smuggling boat in the Caribbean Sea in September. This is even worse than we knew from the very beginning. It's bad enough that instead of stopping the ships, searching them, and if they find drugs, arresting the people and trying them and putting them in jail. And I say I oppose that because of the unconstitutional war on drugs. You know, that's the issue. Don't get so caught up in the pragmatic aspects of this. And I got to say, it's not pragmatic either. The war on drugs has not stopped drugs, has it? Why do we have this big problem? It's only made it worse. And what it has done, it's made drugs worse. It's made our government worse. It's corrupted our police, our courts, the rule of law. That's corrupting the military and the rules of engagement. It is like a cancer in this society because we decided that we didn't need to follow the Constitution anymore. When we did our first prohibition, they followed the Constitution. They did a constitutional amendment. When Richard Nixon did this at the behest of the UN, they even provided the drug schedules for him. He just dismissed the Constitution completely. And so this is what that leads to. And it's going to continue. I mean, we've seen things like civil asset forfeiture, no-knock drug raids by SWAT teams, all these types of things happening here. And it's only going to get worse here in the United States if we don't cap this. So, you know, this is, it's just amazing how unashamed people like War Pete and Trump are of their mass murder. Trump is still bragging about what he did with COVID. It was a mass killing. But in this particular case, as bad as it was that they shot this boat from a distance without investigating it at all, what they did then was they ordered a follow-up for the people who were struggling to survive in the water, hanging on to wreckage. They shot them again. Folks, this is the kind of thing that we saw with collateral murder. Remember when Wikipedia put that out? You had footage that got leaked of the AC-130 gunship. They could see what they were shooting. You could see what they were shooting. And they shot up a bunch of people. Some of them, one of them at least, was a photographer, shot these people up. Then they waited until the ambulance came, and they put everybody in the ambulance. Then they shot up the ambulance. This is murder. And when Wikipedia put that, not Wikipedia, WikiLeaks, not Wikipedia for sure, but when WikiLeaks put it out, that, I believe, was the thing that marked Julian Assange for imprisonment, and hopefully what they wanted was death. I mean, they had different ideas about how they were going to kill him, which also later came out. The call for the second strike was allegedly given in response to a verbal order from Hegseth to, quote, kill everybody. And this is just so antithetical to every law and every moral principle of Western society. It is absolutely amazing. As usual, his response is to attack the news outlets for telling you the truth. He doesn't deny it. He attacks the news outlets. The same tactic that Pam Bondi used when people asked her questions. She comes with a list of grievances against the people who are asking her questions. And she goes on ad hominem attacks against them.
We've seen Trump do that over and over again.
Yeah, that's the tactic of this corrupt administration.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Patient. As usual, the fake news, he said, is delivering more fabricated, inflammatory, derogatory reporting to discredit our incredible warriors who are shooting struggling people in the water. But he doesn't dispute the report. As we've said from the beginning, these highly effective strikes are specifically intended to be lethal kinetic strikes. The declared intent is to stop legal drugs. Lethal drugs, I'm sorry. Yeah, the legal drugs are even more lethal.
They have no interest in stopping those.
No, not at all. This is, again, he doesn't even have the authority to do this under the illegal, unconstitutional war on drugs. There is no world in which he's even close to any authority to do this. And just to show you how thoroughly corrupt the Pentagon is, you have the Pentagon press secretary, Kingsley Wilson, said, every lethal kinetic strike against narco-terrorists, have we established that they are? No. Is one, completely legal. Two, conducted against the operations of a designated terrorist organization. And three, in defense of vital U.S. national interest. Three lies in quick succession. It's not legal at all. And just because you point at somebody and say they're a terrorist organization doesn't make them even an organization, let alone a terrorist organization. No proof given of any of this stuff. It is just what they say. This dictatorship of Trump. It's not even an administration. What are they administering? They're not administering affairs as stewards for the Constitution, which is the rightful king. No. These are usurpers who are nothing but liars. Trump shared footage of the September 2nd attack, the first of more than a dozen of these, showing the first missile hitting the speedboat and seemingly obliterating it. But the Washington Post claims that a total of four missiles were fired at the boat, two to kill the crew member and two to sink the vessel. A person who watched a live feed of the second lethal strike, in other words, after they hit the boat and you got people still alive in the water, told the outlet that the public, quote, would be horrified if they saw the footage. They should have leaked it. Unfortunately, now I guess WikiLeaks is no longer operational. Who would have the guts to leak this? Would the Washington Post even do that? You can imagine what it would look like because we've seen this done before. And there wasn't any consequence for the people who did it with collateral murder. And I don't remember whether that was in Afghanistan or Iraq, do you?
Anyway. I think it was Afghanistan. I think.
After the September 2nd strike, protocols reportedly changed then to emphasize rescuing survivors. Why wasn't that a protocol to start with? Because that is what has always been our law, our military protocols, and the Geneva Convention and the rest of this. You know, when we look at this, when I read all of this, I thought back to The Great Escape. Remember that? You know, we got to make sure these people don't do this again. That was the argument that Pete and some of these other people were making.
It was Iraq
where they did collateral murder. But you go back to The Great Escape, and they got tired of these guys escaping over and over again, so they put them in one prison, and then they did a big escape. And so when they rounded them up, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, at the end of the movie, the guys that they capture, they take them out into a field and machine gun them. Is that what we've become? Have we become what we fought? I say we have. The Biden administration preferred the kid gloves approach, allowing millions of people, including dangerous cartels and unvetted Afghans, to flood our communities with drugs and violence, said Hegseth. Biden coddled terrorists and we kill them. So Democrat lawmakers have vowed to investigate and prosecute anybody who gave illegal orders in response to the report from the Washington Post. But there's a possibility that this might happen. Because prior to this happening, there had already been both Republican and Democratic chairs of the Senate Armed Forces Committee were already asking questions about this, not happy with what is being done. And now with this admission, there has now been a committee like that, equivalent to that, in the House that is also bipartisan. So we'll see what happens. Usually this is all just a dog and pony show. But the idea that wreckage from one small boat in a vast... Oh, this is their alibi, right? They said, well, you know, we shot the boat. We had to do multiple strikes to get all the wreckage out of there so that it didn't interfere with shipping. Give me a break.
These were environmentally conscious bombings to annihilate any littering that might
This is the seen. Only excuse that they've come up with. The only excuse they've come up with. And so Seth Moulton, who's a Democrat out of Massachusetts, said the idea that wreckage from one small boat in a vast ocean is a hazard to marine traffic is patently absurd. Killing survivors is blatantly illegal. Mark my words, it may take some time, but Americans will be prosecuted for this, either as a war crime or for outright murder. Well, let's hope so. And then we've got, see, this is the problem. You give people like this reprehensible character, Eugene Vindman. Remember this Ukrainian who was lieutenant colonel to you, sir, that type of that arrogant guy. Well, even he comes out, because you've got a broken clock syndrome where he's right once a decade or something. He comes out and he warns Hegseth. He says, you'll be accountable for illegal orders that you give. This demands congressional investigation. In the unredacted video of the strike and radio recordings of the orders given need to be shared with Congress and the American people immediately, he said. Well, again, you understand he's doing this simply because of partisan politics. I'm sure that somebody like Vindman really doesn't care what the issue is here, but we should all care. And I say this because, again, just like you look at the due process and the treatment of people who are committing crimes here, they're here illegally as illegal aliens. But how should we enforce the law? Should we do it in a way that upholds the rule of law, or should we just unleash the government on people that we don't like, on people who committed crimes and just make them capital offenses or whatever? I just cannot get my head around how anybody excuses the kind of conduct that's being done by the Trump administration. Because if they treat other people this way, they will eventually treat you that way. And Madison understood that. He said the tools, but it's also the policies, you know, of wars abroad will come home and be used as instruments of tyranny domestically. And that will happen. We've already seen amazing things done here in America that, frankly, I never thought I would see. You know, things like the no-knock SWAT team raids and civil asset forfeiture, where they don't even charge you with a crime, but they steal your stuff and then say, well, if you want to get it back, you got to sue me. So they focus on people who are poor enough that they can't sue them and just steal from them. It just, this is from the war on drugs. Ted Lieu, a Democrat from California, said, nothing in the classified legal memo or military being used to justify the operation authorizes a second kinetic strike against defenseless survivors. If the reports are true, then a war crime was committed. Also, there is generally no statute of limitations for war crimes. But it's worse than that. Andrew McCarthy had a great op-ed piece. He said, we intended the strike to be legal. It is not a defense. He's writing it in the National Review. And so again, I think this is a level one alert showing the character of Pete and of Trump and the character of this so-called administration. He said the explosive Washington Post report has been the subject of so much discussion for the last couple of days. Says that in the first missile strike the Trump Defense Department carried out against operatives of boats suspected of transporting narcotics in the high seas, two survivors were rendered shipwrecked. As they clung to the wreckage, the U.S. commander ordered a second strike, which killed them. If this happened as described in the Post report, it was, at best, a war crime under federal law. And I say at best, because as regular readers...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
No, I believe the attacks on these suspected drug boats without congressional authorization, under circumstances in which the boat operators pose no military threat to the U.S., and given that narcotics trafficking is defined in federal law as a crime rather than a terrorist activity, much less an act of war, that these acts are lawless and therefore the killings are not legitimate under the law or under armed conflict. And I say this, look, you know, I don't, as you've heard me say over and over again, I don't believe that the war on drugs is legal, right? But even with that, they have laws and rules. You know, just like a war, you may have an unjust war that has been declared. But even within that unjust war, you have rules and regulations. And there is no way that, you know, first of all, smuggling narcotics is not an act of terrorism. It's not an act of war, as they're saying over and over again. Secondly, it is not a capital offense. Again, as Mark said, you know, they had rules, and I pointed that out on the first day. I said, look, you know, they just had a large shipment that they interdicted, and they're still doing that in other areas. So I said, this has nothing to do with drugs. If this was about drugs, they'd be shooting people in the water all the time, everywhere. But everywhere other than off the coast of Venezuela, They are interdicting the ships. And as Rand Paul said, about 25% of the time, the people they suspected of carrying drugs are not carrying drugs. So if we've had a dozen of these things, you can say about three or four of these were not legitimate. He says, even if we stipulate that our forces are in an armed conflict, the laws of war do not permit the killing of combatants who have been rendered hors de combat, is the French phrase. I don't know why they use this thing. Literally, what that means is out of combat, right? Out of combat. Hors de combat. In other words, when you surrender, right, unless you're somebody like Santa Anna, you give people quarter. You don't just kill everybody, right? And so he says, if you're out of the fighting, and that includes shipwreck and struggling to swim. He said, to reiterate, I don't accept that the ship operators are enemy combatants. Even if one overlooks the administration has not proven that they are drug traffickers, has not proven that they are members of designated foreign terrorist organization, there is no armed conflict. They may be criminals, but they are not combatants. They were not shooting. As a matter of fact, they even said they turned around, right? So again, this is rules of engagement. If a cop shoots somebody in the back that's running away, that should be a crime. And sometimes it is treated that way, but it always is a crime. If you do it, they'll come after you, right? But it's not authorized for the police nor for the military to do that. Even if you buy the untenable claim that they are combatants, it is a war crime to intentionally kill combatants who have been rendered unable to fight. It is not permitted under laws and customs of honorable warfare in order that no quarter be given, to apply lethal force to those who surrender, to those who are injured, to those who have been shipwrecked, or who are otherwise unable to fight. And again, this is not about honorable warfare. This is about the Christian principles, the Christian principles that define justified war. And again, this is like the Nazis machine gunning down the prisoners in the Great Escape. According to the Post, two unidentified sources said prior to the September 2nd attack that killed at least 11 people, that Pete Hegseth gave a spoken directive, which one source described as the order was to kill everybody. The operation was led by SEAL Team 6 and is directed from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, by Admiral Frank Mitch Bradley. Admiral Bradley is said to have ordered the attack against the two survivors of the first strike in order to comply with Hegseth's directive to kill the boat's operators, that two sources told the Post. Bradley told people on the secure conference call that the survivors were still legitimate targets because they could theoretically call other traffickers to retrieve them and their cargo. Hegseth responded to the Post report on X. It begins with the familiar pining about how all this derogatory reporting about Trump, you know, and again, when we get to this Afghan thing, we're going to learn that in 2019, well, it was just recently, you know, we're going to talk more about it when we get to the zero teams. But remember, it was just recently released that back in 2019, also under Trump, he determined that as he was having a war of words with Kim Jong-un, he wanted to put surveillance devices in North Korea. So he authorized SEAL Team 6 and a nuclear sub and a bunch of other assets to put these SEALs in to put in surveillance equipment. They were seen, or they thought they were seen, by fishermen. You know, they were flashing a light or something, and one guy just turned around and reflexively shot him, and then they decided that they would kill them all. Stabbed them in their lungs after they killed them so their bodies would sink. And that just came out. And that was 6 years ago. And again, Trump orders these types of things. Then they pulled out. They never did plant the surveillance things. So he says, all this is fake news. But then he doesn't actually rebut any assertion in the report. He says, as we said from the beginning, and in every statement, these highly effective strikes are specifically intended to be lethal kinetic strikes. The declared intent is to stop lethal drugs, destroy narco boats, and kill the narco terrorists who are poisoning the American people. Again, there is no authority for this, even under the unconstitutional war on drugs. Hexa's statement, nor the explanation attributed to Bradley, makes any legal sense. The laws of war, as they are incorporated into our federal law, make lethal force unlawful if it is used under certain circumstances. It cannot be a defense to say, as Hegseth does, that one is killed because one's objective was lethal kinetic strikes.
No, you don't understand. I intended to commit the war crime.
Yeah, this is like the defense. Somebody's arrested for murder and is like, no, I meant to do that. Oh, okay, well, you can go then.
Oh, we thought you didn't have any intentionality behind it. If this was an accident, it'd be a real problem.
That's the difference between homicide and murder, right? Or
manslaughter.
Manslaughter, thank you. Manslaughter and murder, right? Accidental or intentional? No, it was intentional. We did that intentionally.
Oh, well, you're free to go then.
He says, if an arguable combatant has been rendered, or de combat, out of combat, really. Targeting them with lethal force cannot be rationalized, as Bradley is said to have done, by theorizing that it is possible at some future point that the combatant could get help and be able to contribute once again to enemy operations. I blame the principle that we've accepted since World War II, that it is legitimate to target civilian populations, right? Because that's what this is. This is where we refuted the whole idea of Christian war. We, in Western civilization, would have uniforms, often brightly colored, to identify the combatants versus the non-combatants. But when somebody is wounded, when they're, you know, out of combat, even if they're in uniform, you treat them as you would civilians, as you would women and children. We don't care about that anymore. As a matter of fact, the Christians don't care about that anymore. The ones who support Israel and what they're doing in Gaza. You support that, and you support the bombing of civilian populations as we've done in World War II and subsequent to that. Once you say we're going to kill civilians, then what you wind up with is the kind of thing that we saw with collateral murder, the kind of thing we're going to see with this, even though they haven't come up with a name for it yet. Once you decide that you are, you don't really care how many people you kill, if your intention is to kill everybody, as Pete Hegseth is, that's the best summation, I would say, of American war policy since World War II. Just kill everybody. That's what the Nazis did. It's what we do. You know, we got prisoners. Let's line them up and machine gun them. That's what the Nazis...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at Compassion.com. That's Compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
That's what we do.
It really makes you think about him getting so pissed off about that whole, don't follow any illegal orders.
That's right. Like, well, that's why they're so upset about this, because they know that what they're doing is illegal. They won't defend it. They won't say it's not illegal, just as Lance was saying last week. He said, why didn't they just say, oh, wait a minute. You know, these orders that we're giving down there in Venezuela are legal. They never said that. Just like Pete Hegseth doesn't come back and try to explain himself. He attacks them for being fake news when they're telling you the truth. He doesn't deny any of the reporting. He just attacks reporters and saying, you just hate Trump. You have Trump derangement syndrome, right? You've always heard that.
Look, the president gets to kill whoever he wants, whenever he wants. And if you don't like that, you're anti-American.
Right. Yeah, we know these orders are illegal. And it's treason if you tell people not to follow these illegal orders. The 1949 Geneva Convention was ratified by the United States. Consequently, Common Article 3 of the Convention binds our government. It prohibits violence, this is a quote, violence to life and person, in particular murder of all kinds, of persons who are taking no active part in hostilities. Added to Common Article 3, persons taking no active part in hostilities include those placed hors de combat by sickness, wounds, detention, or any other cause. In other words, you don't kill the people struggling in the shipwreck. You don't machine gun the prisoners that escaped from your Nazi prison. Christ's law is higher, however. And it basically says the same thing. And that's the difference between murder and war. War that is conducted in a justified way. I always remember the left when they, you know, we would say that abortion is murder, and it is. They'd say, well, why don't you support the death penalty, or you support this war or that war, whatever. And it's like, well, if it is a justified war being fought according to the principles of a just war and fought in a justified manner, trying to minimize casualties with the purpose of ending the aggression that was committed against you, not that you started. It's never justified if you started. So in a just war, you're defending against an act of aggression, and your defense is not to just kill everybody. The aim is to avoid killing non-combatants and to end the hostilities as quickly as possible. That is the purpose of a justified war. So, again, when you support the murder of civilians and children for Israel, this is how we get to these types of situations. This kind of blind obedience to state, whether that state is the American government and the Pentagon, or whether it is the Israeli government and Netanyahu, doesn't really matter. If this is Christian nationalism, I want no part of it. My definition of Christian nationalism is a culture and a government that embraces Christ's principles. That is not what this is. So don't talk to me about this church plant in D.C. How disgusting. So, again, people who have headed the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel in the Bush 43 administration noted that the Department of Defense Law of War Manual defines hors de combat, in other words, out of combat, to include persons otherwise incapacitated by shipwreck, is specifically mentioned. Congress has incorporated grave breaches of this in the Penal Code's War Crime Statute. When committed in the context of and in association with an armed conflict, not of international character, which is how the administration describes operations in Caribbean. These grave breaches include murder, defined as the act of a person who intentionally kills or conspires or attempts to kill or kills, whether intentionally or unintentionally, in the course of committing any other offense under this subsection. One or more persons taking no active part in the hostilities, including those placed out of combat by sickness, wounds, detention, or any other cause. And it also mentions specifically shipwreck. But again, we see over and over again, this guy who evidently it was SEALs who did this first strike, and Bradley who commanded them. And I got to say that War Pete, Bradley, the SEALs who did this killing, are all guilty of murder. Just like COVID, by the way.
Oh, when you look at the guy who founded SEAL Team 6, it's no shock where it's ended up. He was a complete scumbag.
Was he?
Yeah, utter scumbag. Terrible, terrible individual. Just would cheat on his wife religiously and had no interest in maintaining the marriage. Simply wanted to
sounds go like around. Trump.
Simply wanted to be a cowboy, getting to kill who he wanted, when he wanted, wherever he wanted.
Yeah. And that's the way they use him, as a, you know, 007 license to kill people, right?
Killing whoever he wants, whenever he wants, while cheating on his wife. That definitely sounds like Trump.
Yeah.
There's a type.
But again, when you look at COVID, right, this mass murder of COVID has gone unpunished. Nobody is paying a penalty for any of that. So why wouldn't they think they can get away with murder of this sort? And why wouldn't they think that if they can ignore the Constitution with war on drugs for 50 years, why not continue to do this? Trump is undoubtedly going to pardon any administration officials in potential legal jeopardy, but the penalty for war crimes violation is life imprisonment or death if the criminal act results in death. He says, again, if the Post report is accurate, Hegseth and his commanders changed the protocols after the September 2nd attack to emphasize rescuing suspected smugglers if they survived strikes. This is why two survivors in a subsequent strike were captured and then repatriated to their native countries of Colombia and Ecuador. Now, there's been several indications that they got it wrong, right? These people are not even Venezuelans, and again, when we look at what is going on with Venezuela, you know, there's no fentanyl coming from there. They just keep repeating that lie over and over again, no matter how many times people point out that it has never been asserted by anybody in this United Nations war on drugs. Let's understand what that is. You know, that's Richard Nixon put that in, and it was for the UN. But it's never been asserted by any of these people who are engaged in this so-called activity of fighting the war on drugs. It's never been alleged that fentanyl was coming from Venezuela. That is a false report. These people, you know, that's fake news from Trump and Hegseth, to put it in their terms. Under prior policy, the boat would have been interdicted, again, as Mark was saying. The drugs seized, the operators transferred to federal court for prosecution and heavy sentences. Under the Trump administration policy, if the operators survive our missiles, they get to go back home and rejoin the drug trade. But put that aside. The point is that if the administration's intent to apply lethal force were a defense to killing shipwrecked suspected drug traffickers, the policy would not have been changed. Changing the policy was an admission of guilt. Hegseth knows that he can't justify killing boat operators who survive attacks, and he sends them home rather than detaining them as enemy combatants, because similarly, there is no actual armed conflict. So there is no basis to detain them as enemy combatants. The administration's defense can't be that we killed them because our plan is to use lethal force. Again, that is insane.
Plus, I mean, if they were normal drug smugglers and they interdicted them with a boat full of drugs, you would think they would then, you know, arrest them and send them to a prison for a while rather than just throwing them back. Perhaps they weren't smuggling drugs. Or
well,
if
that's
they
the
were,
way when I read it. I mean, Andrew McCarthy looks at it and says, okay, so these people were smuggling drugs and so you're going to send them back home? And when I looked at that, I saw that, as you're pointing out, Lance, as an admission that, well, we understand we got the wrong people.
Yeah, the only thing you could say in their partial defense would be, oh, well.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options. No doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. And that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Maybe they don't know if they were smuggling drugs or not because they blew up the boat that had them on there. So there's no evidence against them like there would be in a normal interdiction.
Well, that's why the Colombian president got into this fight with Trump. He says, all right, we're not going to send any more money to Colombia. Which is, if you want to talk about drugs, that's where the cocaine comes from. Okay, everybody knows that. And not fentanyl, but cocaine. But anyway, we were giving them money, I guess, to do the cocaine. But he got into a fight with them because one of the ships that was blown up killed a guy that everybody knew was a fisherman. His family, everybody else knew it. And I see all these accounts mocking this stuff, saying, yeah, he's a fisherman. He's got to have all those multiple outboard motors on his boat because he's going after the fast fish. It's like, give me a break. Is that a death penalty to have too many motors on the back of your boat? Maybe he prefers to not spend a lot of time getting out to the fishing area. I don't know. Having a particular type of boat should not be a death sentence. I'm disgusted with conservatives who try to make these ridiculous apologies for the Trump administration. Meanwhile, as I said before, there is a bipartisan effort to take a look at this. It'll be interesting to see what happens, if anything. GOP senators joined Democrats in investigating Hegseth, saying that he wants to kill everybody. GOP Senator Roger Wicker, chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, and Democrat Senator Jack Reed announced the investigation in a joint statement. And this is not just from this. They had already started an investigation into these murders prior to this. And so senators from both parties will join forces to investigate allegations that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth ordered there to be no survivors in U.S. airstrikes on alleged drug-running boats. The committee is aware of recent news reports and the Department of Defense's initial response regarding the alleged follow-on strikes on suspected narcotics vessels in the Southcom area of responsibility. The committee has directed inquiries of the department, and we will be conducting vigorous oversight to determine the facts related to these circumstances. Well, again, they all bow the knee to national security, which is the defense that these people throw up for each and everything that they do. So I don't really think that without an organization like WikiLeaks, we're going to see what really happened here. Congressional committees are going to be doing this. So there's one in the House as well. These are people, this is also a Democrat and Republican. Leaders of the House Armed Services Committee, Mike Rogers, a Republican, Adam Smith, a Democrat, followed suit late Saturday. So the announcement that the Senate Armed Services Committee was going to investigate, and that was made on Friday as this stuff blew up. The next day on Saturday, the House Armed Services Committee says they are going to investigate. So they're taking bipartisan action to gather a full accounting of the operation in question. The committee, they noted, is committed to providing rigorous oversight of the Department of Defense's military operations in the Caribbean. That remains to be seen. Anyway, it was, like I said, this is, maybe it won't be a whitewash. I don't know. I think probably looking at how the military controls has so much influence, the military-industrial complex. I think it probably will be. But unlike Vindman, who you can kind of dismiss anything that he has to say, even if it's true, you can dismiss it as partisan attacks. This was last month that you had Wicker and Reed, the chair and the leading minority member, made public two letters that they previously sent to the Pentagon requesting orders and recordings and legal rationale related to these strikes. So they were already on it. But these people who contacted the Washington Post anonymously really threw fire on this. Current and former U.S. officials and law of war experts have said the Pentagon's lethal campaign, which has now killed more than 80 people, is unlawful and may expose those most directly involved in the prosecution. Alleged traffickers pose no imminent threat of attack against the U.S. and are not in an armed conflict with the U.S., say these officials and other experts. A group of former military attorneys who scrutinized the Trump administration's military activities said that regardless of whether the U.S. is in an armed conflict, conducting a law enforcement or other military thing, this is a war crime, murder, or both. There are no other options. So we shall see what happens to this. By the way, you know, when we look at this, we're getting such conflicting information from the Trump administration. Trump is going to meet with Maduro, the guy that he says has to be overthrown. So even though he's put a $50 million bounty on Maduro, he has invited him to Washington.
See, that's part of his plan. He's going to collect the bounty himself.
That's right, yeah.
He's going to put Maduro in an armbar in the Oval Office.
I can pay myself. I can do that. I already wrote a check to myself, or I'm going to write a check to myself for $230 million.
So. Sucker. He came right in. I put him in a headlock. What was he going to do?
It's a trap, says Admiral Akbar, right? there are currently no plans for such an historic encounter to take place yet, despite the recent call where he offered to do that, say sources told the New York Times. On Thursday, Trump promised to start land operations in Venezuela, quote, very soon. I guess it depends on the Epstein news cycle and the public opinion polls. Over the weekend, he declared closure of Venezuela's airspace. The arrogance of this guy. It's truly amazing, you know. It's just, yet, you know, this is the same Trump. Why should we be surprised? This is the same Trump that locked down the United States of America 5 years ago. He paid the bad Democrat governors and the bad Republican governors who went along with it. He paid them to do it, just like he paid Hillary to show up at his wedding. Trump on Saturday declared the airspace above and surrounding Venezuela to be closed. He does it on his social media account. Isn't that amazing? We have a government where we don't care what the law is. It's whatever the president says. It truly is a dictatorship, and a dictatorship that is running through his own social media outlet.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Constitution has more stringent requirements for a declaration of war than a post on Truth Social.
That's right. I forgot when they amended the Constitution for that.
All it takes is him to get a little peeved at somebody, and we can be at war like that.
Yeah. To all airlines, pilots, drug dealers, and human traffickers, please consider all uppercase. The airspace above and surrounding Venezuela to be closed in its entirety. I get. Did he finish with, thank you for your attention? Is it on? You know, as they thump the microphone, they always do that.
Testing.
Yeah. It's unclear if the declaration means that the U.S. will impose a no-fly zone in Venezuela. That, however, would be an act of war when you declare a no-fly zone. And that would be illegal without congressional authorization, according to the Constitution. What is that? What's the Constitution? I've never heard of that before, have you? The order came after the president said that he may very soon expand the bombing campaign and take it to land. So again, what we see here is just like his tariffs, his wars, his sanctions, his tariffs, they're all capricious, they're all arbitrary, they're all unilateral, they're all done without consulting anybody, and they're all done in defiance of the Constitution. The son of a gun, who would, who can try to cover for this guy? Well, you know, people like Alex Jones and people like Glenn Beck and people like Mark Levin. As long as Trump is doing what Israel wants, it's just amazing to see the sycophants around this guy. As Anti-War points out, today the Cartel of the Suns is used to describe a network of Venezuelan officials allegedly involved in the drug trade. But it doesn't exist as a structured organization. The Trump administration appears set to use the designation as a pretext to launch an illegal war, one that Americans overwhelmingly do not want. And again, you just create this organization. We'll call it the Cartel of the Suns. And, of course, what it will be is the administration and the...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Regime that we want to overthrow, and we'll call it a cartel so that we can overthrow it. Well, at the same time, we have this happening, and he wants to go to war with Venezuela over fentanyl, which nobody has ever said comes from Venezuela. Trump, over the weekend, pardoned Juan Orlando Hernandez, the former president of Honduras, who is in the U.S. serving a 45-year sentence in U.S. prison for drug trafficking. So at the same time, he wants to open up a massive war against Venezuela. At the same time that he and his subordinates authorize the execution of non-combatants in a phony, made-up war, and then defiantly says that, yeah, we kill people who are struggling in the water after we've hit the ship. At the same time he does that, he pardons this guy who has been imprisoned for drug trafficking.
Well, this is keeping within Trump's whole policy of the people giving the orders are immune, but the people who follow and carry out the orders, they should be executed for those.
That's true. Now, part of this context is that they had an election either this weekend or coming up. It was yesterday. I don't know how it came out. Sunday's presidential election in Honduras. So he endorsed a candidate there. And he said, well, this candidate may not win because Venezuela may rig the elections. Now, look, I've reported for years and years, over a decade, I've been reporting about how Smartmatic was created in Venezuela by three friends of Hugo Chavez. And Hugo Chavez and other communists in the area never lost an election as long as Smartmatic was involved. And there have been allegations, not just in the U.S. in 2020, but prior to that, and I'd reported on it way prior to that, there'd been allegations. I reported on all this stuff in the 2016 election cycle. And there were allegations in multiple Mexican states, I think they call them territories, like, you know, regions within Mexico, whatever they call them, they're not provinces like in Canada, but let's say states in Mexico. Also in Brazil, also in the Philippines, that Smartmatic was rigging elections. And so for Trump to say, well, if they're going to use Smartmatic, maybe they're going to rig the election. Let me tell you, though, what probably rigged the election more than anything was for Trump to endorse this person. That endorsement from Trump was probably would probably cause this other guy to win in Honduras. And then he pardons, at the same time, this massive person who is a massive drug trafficker that everybody recognized for that. He endorsed some guy named Nasri Tito Asfura. I guess we'd just call him Nasty. Nasty Tito Asfura. And so he said, I would be very supportive of his government if he won. And then he said, I'll be granting a full pardon and a complete pardon to Hernandez, saying that he's been treated very harshly and unfairly. Well, last year, the Department of Justice said, as they were sentencing Hernandez to 45 years in prison for conspiring to, quote, facilitate the importation of an almost unfathomable 400 tons of cocaine to this country. And so they accused him and his brother for drug trafficking and for firearms crimes. As president of Honduras, Juan Orlando Hernandez abused his power to support one of the largest and most violent drug trafficking conspiracies in the world. And the people of Honduras and the U.S. bore the consequences, said the Department of Justice at the time. Well, so a lot of people are looking at this and saying, how is he taking one of the biggest drug traffickers, head of a country? You know, he's projecting all this stuff now onto Maduro. And I'm not a supporter of Maduro. He's a communist, and they have rigged elections and so forth. But I think this is all about the oil and about regime change, and I think it's about a wag the dog aspect here. But the contradiction is just insane. One guy who's a senior instructor at Western Washington University said Trump is using the U.S. military to assassinate rival crime lords and using pardon power to reward and elevate crime lord allies. Another person said, is this for real? We're killing people we just suspect of drug trafficking, and yet we are pardoning convicted drug kingpins? Another person said, Trump, I will kill the drug cartels. Also Trump, pardoning a powerful drug trafficker. Finally, one person said, they're lying to you. And a bunch of voters falls for it every time. We know who that bunch of voters are. But there's Democrats who do it as well. Trump did not immediately state his reason for pardoning Hernandez. However, we can guess something that may have something to do with it. It was actually in Honduras that Peter Thiel and many of his technocrat billionaire friends had decided that they were going to start up a special libertarian city. They called it Prospera. Do you remember that? A startup city. You know, wealthy libertarians, well, I'd say not even wealthy libertarians, but libertarians for the longest time have said, you know, we need to just get out of these countries that are abusing us, that are acting. And I, you know, that really strikes a chord with me. So they talk about, you know, setting up a city out in the ocean in international waters. And, of course, you know that that would not last because of the abusive governments that are out there. But they worked with the government of Honduras. They worked with this guy, Juan Hernandez, to set up Prospera, a private for-profit city with its own government to court foreign investors through low taxes and light regulation. And so, again, the people involved in it, people like Peter Thiel, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, Mark Andreessen, and so forth. They all worked with this guy, Hernandez. Perhaps this is why he gets pardoned. The drug thing doesn't matter at all to Trump. So again, if you understand Trump and you understand the motives of his donors and controllers, the technocrats, the Zionists, and so forth, then you understand. You just look at the people that give him money, and you look at what they want out of things, and then you can understand why Trump is doing these contradictory things over and over again. There really isn't any contradiction at all. And, you know, as we had this murder by this Afghan guy, which we're going to talk about coming up, the Zero units from the CIA, 00 units is what they call them. Again, I think it's these people are like playing James Bond, you know, the 00 agents from the British government had a license to kill. Well, basically, these guys in Afghanistan did have a license to kill. And so one of them was brought back. He was brought back by Biden. And then, you know, the CIA was insisting these people be brought back, actually putting them ahead of other people as they were trying to bug out of Afghanistan. And so CIA gets these people back, and they push this through. And the Trump administration actually signed the papers to let him stay. So Biden brought him in. Trump administration did that. And yet, when you look at places like the Babylon Bee, for example, this is exactly what is wrong. They take the position that it's all Biden's fault, right? Turkey pardoned by Biden administration 4 times, commits violent Turkey murder. Well, again, this is just partisan finger pointing. And people are doing that over this Afghanistan guy. Look, both Republicans and Democrats own the Afghanistan war. Trump owns the Afghanistan war. He kept it the entire 4 years, even though he said he was going to shut it down. Biden did not shut it down. Biden did not do a disorderly evacuation by choice. They did it because they had no choice. They did it because they were losing the war. They had no intention of leaving. I've reported on it so many times. You had all these people from the Pentagon saying, we're going to stay there for at least 20 years. Why? Well, again, they have lithium, and it's a military strategic place in terms of being closer to Russia or whatever. But you could come up with a lot of different reasons for it. I think opioids had a lot to do with it. The poppy fields that were there. They went from less than 10% of the world supply to the high.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
90s and kept it there. Every year was a bumper crop, and RT would point that out. The American press was silent on that. And so, yeah, they were getting their drugs, because you want to talk about the drug war? That's the CIA, folks. That's our own government that is running the drug war. And it really is what this one guy says. This is like rival drug gangs. You're going to pardon this one guy who's his drug lord ally and another guy who he wants to come after, even if he isn't a drug lord. He's going to accuse him of that and come after him. So, you know, Babylon Bee, Turkey pardoned by Biden 4 times, commits violent Turkey murder. And just in case you don't understand what they are pointing the finger at, they say the Turkey, a refugee from Afghanistan, had been in and out of prison during Biden's presidential term on charges of trespassing, grand theft auto, and illegal narcotics or something. So we're going to take a look at that guy when we come back. But we got some comments here. One of them from Marky Mark.
That's right, Marky Mark. Thank you very much for the tip. Says, we long ago became what we fought in World War II. LCDR Mush Morton of sub SS Wahoo. the SS Wahoo torpedoed a Japanese freighter. After the sinking, he ordered his crew to machine gun the survivors in the water.
Yeah.
And
and that's, you know, I mean, we laugh at the name, but it's actually a wahoo fish, I think. But, yeah. You know, it sounds like some Pickens riding the bomb down at the end of Dr. Strangelove. But yeah, that's a crime, you know, and when you look at how, you know, civilian targets, both the Nazis as well as the Allied forces targeted civilian populations, you know, they...
Russia committed heinous atrocities on civilian populations. The Japanese were horrific.
Yeah. And China,
Talk about everybody, the rape of Nanking.
Everybody was doing it. And we sunk to that level. You know, Western Europe and America used to have the standards of Christian principles and the just war theory. You would never do the types of things that we did with the firebombing of Dresden or with the nuclear bombs. As I've said before, they would say, well, that ended the war early. Well, if you wanted to end the war early, you could have dropped those nuclear bombs on the troops that were fighting our troops. That would have been legitimate under the rules of war. To drop them on civilian population, however, it's not. And it's the same kind of argument. Well, you know, if we don't kill all those civilians, they might put on a uniform and come after us as well. So let's kill the non-combatants. That's essentially the argument that murdering War Pete is making. And it doesn't cut it.
Also, it's another thing to remember is while what happened there is still a crime, is still an atrocity. That was in the middle of an ongoing hot war where they had atrocities to look at and say, look what they did to our side. These are guys that are in the heat of, you know, the moment where they've seen what the Japanese are doing, or at least they've heard about it. And so they are wound up and they want to. This is just cold-blooded,
premeditated
precision murder.
Yeah.
This is, you know, they're both crimes and both should be prosecuted. Yes. Both are wrong.
Yes.
But it's easier to understand how someone could be, you know, worked up into a frenzy during a war.
Yes.
As opposed to where we are right now, which is just press a button and obliterate a person.
And the law makes a distinction between murder that is committed under passion, murder that is committed accidentally, murder that is cold, calculated, premeditated. That's what this is. Mm. It's that kind of murder.
President Ovante, 1776, says Clinton, W., Bush, Obama, Trump, Biden, and Trump are all war criminals and mass murderers.
Yeah, I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. The difference is that Trump owns it. He's proud of it. He boasts about it. Hegseth boasts about it. You know, these other guys tried to pretend that they weren't doing it. We know that all these presidents have had affairs. You know, we're talking about Eisenhower, FDR, any of these people. They've all had adulterous relationships while they were married, but they all hid it. They covered up. Trump boasts about it, just like he boasts about his murders with a hypodermic needle or with the missiles that he's got out there.
Yeah, we've never seen Bush bragging about being the father of 9/11 like Trump has bragged about being the father of the vaccine.
Yeah. I'm the father of the inside job. Yeah, it's like.
And of course, you had Obama saying, you know, I'm very good at killing people.
Yeah, and that's what Dave Chappelle said about Trump, which I keep thinking about that clip where he says, Trump's this guy, he says, you know what these guys are doing in there, but they won't tell you that. He'll come out and tell you, this is what they're doing, and then he'll go back in and join them, and he'll keep doing it. But he's open about it. He's going to tell you that that's what he's doing, because he's absolutely unashamed. He's absolutely has no morality whatsoever. He's not just immoral, he's amoral. There is no moral code to Donald Trump whatsoever. It's about how does he get money, how does he get control. That's it. And he's like some kind of a shark out there. He's got one goal to feed.
Skunk Hollow Rose Gardens, war crimes don't stick ever. Revolting villager, once our police and military is populated with recently illegal aliens, the government will be a threat to U.S. citizens as well. Well, the government is already a threat, but yeah, they have been putting out calls. I've seen it in places like California, just like, hey, you know, why don't you join up and you can serve the community? And we saw that in Australia as well. Hey, come to Australia. We've got great beaches. You can join the police force, and we don't care where you're from. Yeah. You want to come here, get a job where you can abuse our citizenry and feed off of it? Come on, buddy. Bring it on in. We'll give you a nightstick. You can beat our citizenry with it.
I had somewhere here there was a nice recruitment. Yeah, here it is, DHS. Listen to this. This is the way they see themselves. This should frighten you. This is the way American federal law enforcement sees itself.
think I'm hiding in
the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion.
I think we should add to that clip for context what C.S. Lewis said about the people who are convinced of being righteous when they're not. This is like the, that's really a good intro to what we're going to be talking about in terms of the zero unit killers that we trained, that the CIA trained. I say we because it's our government. That they trained in Afghanistan, what this guy did. You know, you train people to be killers, and you glorify all of this stuff. It's not done to protect. This is done, as you were pointing out, with the SEAL Team 6, a guy who just loves to kill people. And that's what they're selling people. They're selling that, though, for domestic law enforcement here. That's a recruitment video from DHS. Do you want to wear night goggles? You want to do nighttime raids on people? You want to kill Americans or people who are in America, whether they're Americans or not? That's what they have become. You know, the militarization of the police. You should be very concerned about that. Go ahead.
Also, all of these ads for this stuff are getting ridiculous with how dramatic they are with the propaganda. We've got three of them in the deck, including one that is actually for a propaganda unit.
That's right. Yeah, that's the dark ad from DHS. Here's one that is portrays them as superheroes. This is DHS.
The very best, like no one ever was.
Cartoon anime.
Train them is my real test. To train them is my cause.
One of the great intro themes of all time, though.
What is this from?
Pokemon. It's the original Pokemon theme song.
Oh, okay. Not my thing. Oh, there he is, Pokemon.
You're
going to round up all those Pokemons. They got their little surveillance thing. Says, hey, I got a Pokemon over here. Remember that game?
Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
You teach me and I'll teach you.
Yeah, that's right. Got to catch them all. Yeah, let's go search for the Pokemons that are out there. And this is that remind what when I see that and how juvenile that is, you know, combined with this militarization of the police, it reminds me of the man who would be king, which, by the way, is what we should probably be calling Trump, the man who would be king. That excellent film that had Sean Connery, and Michael Caine, and. At one point, they line up the...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Afghans. They're going to take over this country here. And he says, see that guy there with a size 5 hat, head size for a size 5 hat? He goes, we're going to make a bloody hero out of him. You see that guy that's got an 8th grade outlook of the world and is thinking of Pokemon or whatever, maybe not even 8th grade, maybe 8-year-old. Well, we make a big DHS agent out of him. That's what I think of you guys at DHS. That's exactly what I think of you. You're a bunch of children killing people. Go ahead.
I was more talking about that other ad in the deck for joining the military, which was the PSYOP one, first yeah. row, seventh video.
Yeah, that's right. We'll play that one here. This is, this is from Fort Bragg. This is something that they've done multiple times now. Glorifying PSYOPs against us. So your government is glorifying nighttime raids. They're glorifying PSYOPs. And this is a recruitment ad. You know, you can be on the other side of this insanity. You can be the person who's controlling everybody. We are everywhere, it says.
There's another force applied in combat that we generally don't think of as a weapon of war. That weapon is words. Words are weapons.
Telling the truth is the only way in which to influence people.
This is psychological warfare.
Yeah, and that ghost thing, I remember they did one of these several years ago. I remember that walking ghost. This is a new ad. They just keep doing that kind of stuff. Go ahead.
We have Peasant Avante, 1776. The military can be green-lighted to murder suspected drug runners on the high seas. They can be green-lighted on American soil.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
High boost. We have to kill all drug dealers that I don't pardon. Trump maggot logic. Well, once you get a pardon from Trump, you're clear. You're fine.
Yeah. Guard. Oh, he's great. He's one of our guys. I talked to him. He likes me. We're going to make money together. It's a great deal. Love it.
Guard Goldsmith. And, of course, you can find Guard at Liberty Conspiracy Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on Rumble. And you can find him on Twitter at Guard Goldsmith and on Substack. Go check Guard out. Says the people who voted to fund the NDAA and who allowed Trump to use the military without any declaration of war are guilty. Trump is guilty. Those who voted for him to take my money are guilty.
That's right. And, you know, that's the thing, as one of the commenters said earlier, these war crime things don't ever stick. And the fact that the NDAA is a guaranteed it's going to pass. It doesn't matter how much money they put into it. We went over $1 trillion this time. It is always going to pass. That's why when they take something that is really controversial, they don't feel like they can get it through because it's such an affront to the American people and the Constitution. They'll stick it in the NDAA and because they know it's a guaranteed pass. You know, the military-industrial complex runs this country. We've become the national security state post-World War II. Everything is about so-called national security, and yet it doesn't make us safe at all.
Molly Brown Dog, they used to just plant evidence, and now they blow it up.
Yeah.
High boost says dead men tell no tales. Kill them all.
Yeah. Yeah, we are the pirates, aren't we?
Yo-ho, yo-ho. Peasant Ovante, 1776. Bounties, no-fly zones, land operations, regime change. Sounds like a war to me. A real war, not a drug war. Mm-hmm. The thing that really blows me away is the cavalier way he just declares, oh, yeah, we're going to impose a no-fly zone over here. Mm-hmm. That's not just affecting the country. That's every other country then has to contend with that. Every other country has to sit there and think, well, if I fly through this.
Well, he hasn't declared it as a no-fly zone, but effectively he did. He didn't use that term.
Yes.
But again, this is the kind of semantics that they use. We all know what he's doing. He's making it a no-fly zone. I'm not saying it's a no-fly zone, but you know, if you go there, you might get killed. Yeah.
We might accidentally think that your plane is transporting drugs, and we all know what we do with suspected drug runners.
I guess it's a no boat zone either from my Pirate Pete. Arr.
Yar,
out of the water.
Yar, matey.
We found out that their definition for a drug boat is any boat with enough motors on it. So any plane that's fast enough could be a drug plane.
That's right.
They all tend to go pretty fast to stay in the air.
You know, I'm no expert on the kind of fishing that this guy was doing out of Colombia, but I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, well, you know, if I was doing some deep sea fishing, I don't think I would have, that's the whole thing I don't like about fishing, is just too slow moving. I don't think I'd have the patience to sit there on a trawler, you know, going at a slow speed out to where it is. You might need to have a trawler in order to get the fish on it. But, if I could get more motors on there so I could get back and forth to work faster, I think I would do that. I don't know. Killing somebody because of the kind of boat that they have and excusing it, that's insane.
What a liberal mindset to say your boat is too fast, ever.
That's right. It's like, you got too many rounds in your magazine, and you got too many motors on the back of your boat. Gonna have to kill you. It really is.
One, two, three. Oh, four motors. Sorry, bud. That's a missile for you.
So the libs will do it for the gun. The conservative Trump supporters will do it for the boat.
Jeb Genn says, Trump is easily worse than the other Democrats.
That's right. He is a Democrat. Let's never forget.
Yeah. Molly Brown Dog, Trump has done enough damage to the Constitution to warrant impeachment, but it wouldn't solve the problem. A new dictator would just take over in his place.
That's right. Yeah. He is President Trump. He's there to move it. And I agree that, these precedents that he's making, and he's doing it with the complicity of people who in the past would have opposed violation of the Constitution because they were originalists. Now these people, these conservatives, applaud it when it's Trump. And I see it across the board. I mean, I see it from not just media people, but like people like Victor Davis Hanson, you know, historian who's out there. And they make every kind of excuse that you can make for Trump to set these things up. I mean, if you're a historian and you can't figure out the times that you live in, I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say about things that happened before you were alive. So I can write off Victor Davis Hanson completely.
It's like that scene from the Blues Brothers where they, you know, meet up with the girls that are in love with him again, and he just starts listing off every possible excuse he could have come up with for why whatever happened happened or didn't happen. Just like, the sun was in my eyes, as they're wearing sunglasses in a tunnel. You know, just that's what's going on with Trump. No matter what happens, there's somebody there to list that's off right. All the reasons. Well, it's not, you know, he didn't do it. If he did, it's actually a good thing anyway. Hi, Boo. Said you have to pardon drug dealers to start wars against drug dealers. That's right. If you've got all the drug dealers locked up, who are you going to fight? Real Jason Barker. And, of course, Jason Barker's Parts of Nights of the Storm, which you can find at nightsofthestorm.com. See the schedule for their show, our show, Guard Show, Tony's show, many shows, nightsofthestorm.com. Says pharmaceutical manufacturers have to do an environmental analysis on the impact of their drugs to the water, but when it's fentanyl, I guess we don't care about massive amounts being blown into the water.
Good point. I think we should blow up these fluoride centers injecting the fluoride into the water. Maybe we should do that
in Minecraft, not in real. We shouldn't.
Yeah, I'm being facetious. I'm not calling for the terrorism here.
Do not go commit acts of violence.
That's right. All right. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back.
David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Tell Alexa to add the APS radio skill and have access to the best channels anywhere, from country to blues, classic hits to news. APS radio curates incredibly diverse playlists for you to enjoy. Get details at APSradio.com.
Well, let's talk about this killer who shot a couple of National Guardsmen in D.C., traveled across the country to do it, came from Washington State to Washington, D.C. This was a killer that was trained by the CIA as part of their Zero Unit fighters in Afghanistan. The 00 section there, our license to kill people. And the CIA helped to bring thousands of Afghan partner forces called the Zero Unit to the U.S. under Biden's watch. This is just the news. And again, they want to make this partisan. This was something that was happening under Trump as well. Trump, they're brought under Biden's watch because it all collapsed and the war was lost under Biden. Trump could have done it. He had promised to do it. He did not end the war. He could have ended it and had an orderly withdrawal. Instead, it was a panicked evacuation. And that was the issue. But of course, the conservative media is making this strictly partisan, which is also a bunch of nonsense. The Afghan national, who has been charged with shooting two members of the West Virginia National Guard this week, was reportedly a member of the elite Afghan Zero Unit forces backed by the CIA. Why do we call people that have been trained to do really evil stuff, why do we call them elite? Just call them evil. The CIA appeared to have quietly cut a deal with thousands of its paramilitary-style zero-unit forces in Afghanistan in August of 2021, as everything collapsed and the Taliban took back control of the country and its capital, Kabul. According to a former intelligence officer who spoke with Just the News, who declined to be identified, the terms of the deals were that if the Zeros helped to secure Hamid Karzai International Airport during the chaotic evacuation, then in exchange for that and for their years of coordination with the U.S. spy agency, the fighters and their families would earn an airlift to the U.S. The Afghan fighter drove thousands of miles from the west coast of the U.S. in Washington State to attack two members of the West Virginia National Guard, killing one of them. The other one is seriously injured and may still die. Numerous news outlets have reported that this guy was a member of the Zero Units based out of Kandahar. The U.S. cut a deal with the Afghan Zero Unit Commando Forces to secure the Kabul airport. Again, I'm not a military guy, but I looked at this and I thought, you know, they had Bagram Air Base, which is huge, well fortified. Why did they choose to evacuate from a civilian airport? That's the first thing I looked at and scratched my head. That didn't make any sense to me. But of course, I don't know anything about wars. I just know when they're justified and they're not justified. The U.S. cut a deal with the Afghan Zero units to go out and round up U.S. citizens out of Kabul. Maybe that's why they chose it, because it was close to where all their political allies were. Anyway, they went into the city and they gave them safe escort in. They relied on the Zeros to help clear the airfield and then use the Afghan commandos to provide security during evacuation. I would say that security could have been better. Didn't we have a bunch of U.S. military that were killed there? And they were running the security for it. So New York Times reported that this guy had enlisted with a Zero unit at a very young age. The guard members, apparently, that were shot by him were only blocks away from the White House. One was 20 years old, Sarah Beckstrom, and the 24-year-old Andrew Wolf. Trump announced on Thursday that Beckstrom, an Army specialist, had died from gunshot wounds, and added that Wolf remained in critical condition in the hospital. Afghan Evac, a U.S.-based coalition advocating for Afghan refugees, reportedly confirmed that this guy served in Unit 3 of the Zero units, Unit 03, I should say, was evacuated by the U.S. Military in August 2021, arrived in the U.S. under humanitarian parole, that he was granted asylum in April, that he had a special immigrant visa application under consideration, which had received chief of mission approval, and that his SIV application and COM application would have required review by the CIA. And so people blame Biden. The Republicans blame Biden. Democrats say, yeah, but Trump administration signed off on his paperwork. Here's the reality. This is the CIA, and this is the military, and they're calling the shots. And as it is in so many instances, Trump and Biden are both just a couple of puppets doing what they're told by their donors and by the military-industrial complex. Legacy media blames Trump for Biden's program. See, and this is just the news. Shame on you. This is a bipartisan war. It's a bipartisan failure. And you should understand that it doesn't matter whether it's a Trump or Biden. It doesn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican. The CIA is running this country. And this is the kind of thing that they do. Thousands of these zero unit guys were brought in. NBC News previously reported that 10,000 to 12,000 members of the Zero units were evacuated from Afghanistan. How elite is that if you got 10 or 12,000? This is not like a half dozen highly trained individuals who've gone through all kinds of stuff like the SEAL units or something like that. They're just killers. The Washington Post reported that the Zero unit soldiers collected U.S. civilian personnel and members from their homes there in Kabul and got them to the airport. There were days when we couldn't get more people through the gates because the CIA kept pushing their own people. They wanted them out. We wanted to do what we could to help, but it threw us back, and there were days when we couldn't let others in the gate because we were helping the CIA and their Afghans first. Yeah, that's the way this thing operates. So what are these Zero units? They also called them 00 units. Again, a license to kill. There were four main regional CIA-backed Afghan paramilitary units. They're officially known as 01, 02, 03, 04. Created and controlled by the CIA, unlike the Afghan National Army's regular commandos, which fell under the Afghan Ministry of Defense. Now, the Zero units were recruited, trained, paid, equipped, and task organized directly by the CIA. They did not answer to the Afghan government in any meaningful way. And you know, when I look at this, this is, again, going back to Iran, when I talked to, when I was in engineering school and at USF, and there were a lot of Iranian students because at the time, the Shah of Iran was still there, ally of the U.S., and people were wearing masks when they protested what was happening in Iran. And I asked them about that, and they said, well, they told me about the SAVAK. The SAVAK was a secret police organized and trained by the CIA to squelch any political opposition by arresting, torturing, imprisoning, killing people. That's what the CIA does. That's what the CIA was doing in Afghanistan. It's amazing how ruthless and criminal the American government has become. That's why I call the CIA the Criminal Intelligence Agency. That's really what they are. They are, however, central to our government. Almost exclusively, night raids and direct action kill and capture missions targeting high-value Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and later ISIS leaders, except those are our allies. We just put a former Al-Qaeda, ISIS guy in as the head of Syria, and even though he's killing Christians and other minority groups, Trump wined and dined him at the White House, and the Oval Office honored him. These people were the CIA's primary ground force for counterterrorism operations outside of the conventional U.S. military chain of command. They were extremely effective and feared. They conducted thousands of night raids, 2,000 to 3,000 per year at peak. And what do we see with this DHS recruitment video? Night raids, right? We're going to go from full militarized no-knock raids by SWAT teams to nighttime night vision raids, I guess is what we're going to be looking at from DHS. Repeatedly accused by the UN, Afghan officials, and human rights groups of serious abuses, such as extrajudicial killings, like Warpeet is doing, torture, disappearing people, and civilian casualties during raids. Several detailed UN and Human Rights Watch reports, especially between 2019 and 2021, singled them out. Now, that's two of those 3 years is under Trump, right? Again, the bipartisan nature of this and the fact that Trump and Biden are just auto pens for the military-industrial complex and their donors. You know, Trump is making a big deal of Biden being an auto pen. You know, like, under whose authority did he do this kind of stuff? Under whose authority are you doing things, Trump? Is this your idea, or is it something that's been told to you by your donors, your contributors, by the military-industrial complex and the CIA? They need to replace probably all of the presidents from the middle of the 20th century on with auto pen portraits, not just Biden. So the U.S. supplied weapons, night vision goggles, like DHS now has, and makes a big deal out of it. Join DHS, and you get to wear night vision goggles, and you need to, and you get an opportunity to do to Americans, do things in America that the CIA has been training people to do in foreign countries. The tactics and the weapons of war abroad become instruments of tyranny at home, just like Madison said. Night vision goggles, helicopters often flown by CIA contracted air wing pilots or U.S. Army 160th SOAR when attached, frequently operated with embedded U.S. special forces like SEAL Team 6, those involved in the Venezuela murder, or just pure CIA tasking. After the 2021 U.S. withdrawal, when Kabul fell in August of 2021, many Zero Unit members were hastily evacuated by the CIA, along with their families, because the Taliban had placed them at the top of their kill list. A large number were resettled in the U.S. The units effectively ceased to exist as fighting forces after the Afghan government called.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Collapsed. In short, zero units were the CIA's Afghan hunter-killer teams. Highly capable, deniable from the U.S. perspective, and extremely controversial. Well, again, deniable because everything that the CIA does, they deny. But is it any wonder that when we create an assassin monster like that, that if he has difficulty living with what he's done, that he would then take it out on people from the country that had trained him to do this to his own countrymen, right? I don't see any surprise in any of that at all. And it sickens me to see this turned into, oh, it was Biden who did it. Oh, it was Trump who did it. It's the corruption of the American government. And so... the D.C. National Guard shooter worked for CIA-backed Kandahar Strike Force in Afghanistan, as I just said, granted asylum by the Trump administration earlier this year. His cooperation with the CIA has been confirmed by the spy agency's director, John Ratcliffe. Former Afghan general said that unit, the 03 unit that he was in, they were the most active and professional forces trained and equipped by the CIA. All their operations were conducted under CIA command. Human Rights Watch reported in 2019 that Afghan members of Zero Units have been responsible for extrajudicial executions, enforced disappearances, indiscriminate airstrikes, attacks on medical facilities, and other violations of international humanitarian law or the laws of war. You see, this has been going on for a very long time, and it just keeps getting worse. And metastasizes to the extent that everybody sees it and they continue to do it because there's never any consequences. During these killer capture operations, it would involve these forces would assault, in some cases kill, medical staff. They would assault or kill accompanying civilian or non-combatant caregivers, causing damage to the facilities. This is what happens when we have severed any attempt to have a moral restraint on war. This is what we've become, the kind of monsters that we've become. And so when you look at where this guy is coming from in Afghanistan, at the same time this is all happening, the Daily Skeptic has an article about the massive number of Afghans that have immigrated into the UK. It says Reuters is trying to fact-check away the appalling scourge of Afghan sex attacks. It's been less than a week since an Afghan national admitted raping a 12-year-old girl in Warwickshire. The crime was first propelled in the news cycle over the summer amidst allegations that officials in the police and local council were deliberately concealing the nationality of the alleged offenders. His co-defendant, Mohammed, is also an Afghan national. They pleaded not guilty to attempting to take a child, aiding and abetting rape of a child under 13, and intentional strangulation of the girl. It's a high-profile case, an example of the link between migration and sex crimes, and the way British institutions are trying to downplay this obvious reality. And, of course, they're not the only ones. Reuters published an article suggesting that to say that this is an Afghan issue is unfounded. They're hoping to fact-check a viral social media post, which includes a chart based on the Center for Migration Control data showing that Afghans have the highest rate of sexual assault convictions by nationality in the UK, at 59 per 10,000. And so that's the fact. Then in June, yet another Afghan was convicted of dragging a young schoolgirl behind a pub in the town center and raping her. No remorse was shown during sentencing as he repeatedly screamed liar at the judge. He sought to justify his depravity as a simple case of cultural differences exacerbated by language barriers. This reminds me of the story of when the British went into India and military officer saw they had a custom where they would, when somebody died, they would also throw the living widow on the funeral pyre and burn her alive. And he saw that. He said, stop that. And they came up to him and said, but sir, you don't understand. We have a custom. And he said, we have a custom as well in our country. We kill people who do that. It's a cultural difference. So
this is another one of those things. Just there are certain cultures that you cannot integrate.
Yeah.
There's no number of Afghans that is safe to bring in. Not one, not two. The appropriate number of Afghans to bring into your country is zero. Is zero. Their culture is violent and barbaric. They are routinely, no matter where they go, they set up these cabals that allows themselves to rape, you know, girls. Whether the Muslim culture is just bad. It's evil. You heard it here first, I guess.
Reminds me of that joke. Sorry, Edwin, go ahead.
I have the full quote here from Charles James Napier. It says, you say that it is your custom to burn widows. Very well. We also have a custom. When a man burns a woman alive, we tie a rope around their necks and then we hang them. Build your funeral pyre. Beside it, my carpenters will build our gallows. You may follow your customs and we will follow ours.
That's right. When we went back the early days after 2001, there was a joke going around. The little lady had her knitting needles taken away by TSA because they were afraid she's going to knit an Afghan. So
it's just,
yeah, it's a blanket condemnation of the culture that we're involved in here.
You don't, if we were a serious country, we would not be importing Afghans or Somalis or these other violent backwards people that cannot contribute in any meaningful way to our society. They have not made anything good out of their countries, and they will not be a benefit to ours.
That's right. The Daily Mail, based on freedom of information requests to police forces, found that Afghans were arrested for sex crimes at a rate that is 20 times higher than Brits. Daily Skeptic says, it is because the norms and socialization processes of these men are fundamentally different and immeasurably worse than those here. Men raised in a nation where women are seen as less than cattle are, of course, more likely to, as a cohort, to demonstrate attitudes and behaviors that these islands did not have in the Middle Ages. The country feels at the breaking point. The open borders experiment has failed. There is no doubt that radical change is coming. Legacy media like Reuters is trying to fact check away reality. They are the last stand of a dying political paradigm. Their relevance is waning and bereft of any ideological underpinning aside from vapid internationalism and multiculturalism. That's why I have to say, you know, we have to, if we're going to reclaim our culture, our country, you can't have a culture war if you don't have a culture. We have to decide what our culture should be. And we have to be unapologetic about standing up for that culture. And so, you know, people are looking at this and just saying, what's going on? Well, it has to be the CIA. Yep, you need to understand how the CIA is involved from the very inception of this, as well as the psychological warfare groups, like that video I just showed you, Fort Bragg.
And of course, Fort Bragg is where we're, it might have been just me, but there was that story of all the drug dealing and drug running.
That's right.
And all kinds of nefarious actions that were happening out of Fort Bragg by these special operations groups.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, this is what they get up to in their spare time, apparently.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's how they fund it all.
Yeah, when they're not murdering people for Donald Trump, they are going crazy and dealing drugs.
We met a guy who was a former Navy SEAL. It's kind of interesting, the circumstances he told us. And I believe he said, and he was kind of a small guy, but he was tough, and he knew how to survive in the woods. He said, no matter what happens to society, he says, I could just walk out in the woods and never come back, and I'd be able to survive out there. And he got out of the SEALs because he said he was planting explosives on a bridge somewhere down South America. I'm thinking, wait a minute, what's this about? And he fell as he was doing it, and he injured his back, and that took him out of the service. But he was somebody that we decided that we didn't really want to hang around with anymore. He told us a story about how he was in a bar, and some guy tried to pick a fight with him, and he said, just leave me alone. And the guy followed him outside, and he said, I just took out my knife, and I slit him across the throat, not deep enough to cut the trachea, but, you know, pretty bad. And he said he was arrested, and when they brought him in for arraignment, he said the military came in there and went up and said something to the judge, and the judge said, you can go with him. Go ahead. So that's what, this is the kind of government we've got. They cover up for that kind of stuff, and I'm like, I don't think we want to know this guy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be around him at all.
You also have, it's also a matter of, like, if you're telling the truth, this is terrible.
Yeah.
But if you're not, you're the type of person that wants to lie about this kind of thing because you think it makes you sound cool. In which case, also, another person you don't want to be around.
Yeah, he was a friend of a friend.
And the thing is, you also see this with this sort of thing, like Chris Kyle, the, you know, best sniper to ever grace the Navy SEALs. His book is loaded with inaccuracies and things he's either made up or lied about. Lied about fighting Jesse Ventura, knocking him out. And, you know, as a state lost that case, with all the sympathy provided by the fact that Chris Kyle died and it was his technically widow who was, you know, even though it was the estate, they lost that case to Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura.
You know, that reminds me of that movie Sunset that had Bruce Willis. I think it's James Garner. And it was set in the early days of Hollywood and Tom Mix meeting Wyatt Earp. And played by an older James Garner. And so he would talk about things that happened in the Old West. And he goes, is that really happening? He goes, yeah, give or take a lie or two.
Good movie.
Basically the way
Good
these movie. Guys, he kept using that line, give or take a lie or two.
One of my favorite parts about that movie is at the very end when they're riding off into the sunset. They're going off on a train back east, and they're riding off into the sunset. So it's just more of this, you know, they're like, oh, it's Hollywood magic. It's meant to be goofy and silly. And if you're actually paying attention, you notice, like, wait a minute, they're going back east, and they're driving off into the sunset. This doesn't make any sense.
That's
it's
right.
All give or take a lie or two.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back. Let's see. Hang on a second. Let me get some Christmas songs up here. Here's one.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
Welcome back, folks, and real quickly, I want to remind you that it is your support that keeps this show up and running. We appreciate everyone that donates and keeps us going. So thank you all very much. And you can
yes, and I have a list here of donations, and I apologize. We don't really know where we ended up at the end of the month this last time because there's Karen got sick. She was sick over Thanksgiving, and then Lance got sick after that as well. So we had a lot of that happening. We didn't get out and pick up the checks from the P.O. box over the weekend. So we're really not sure about that. We'll let you know about that tomorrow. But I did want to mention these people whose checks we did process earlier. This is Ann Z, Fred and Jackie U, Helen T, Stephanie K, Ronald C, Mary N, Chip and Tina B, Jack H, Robert and Laura B, Raymond B, Eric K, Philip and Kelly M, and Stacy. Those are checks, and we will tell you tomorrow the names of the people who have contributed that we've not announced yet on Zelle and on Cash App. But when we look at Thanksgiving, we do give thanks for those of you who have supported us, especially with your prayers over this last year. We look back at this year, it's been a very challenging year for us on a personal level, and we really do appreciate your prayers for the things that happened health-wise with me, and also with the loss of Karen's brother,
yes,
twin brother recently. So we thank God, and that is what really Thanksgiving is about. And that's one of the reasons I like it. In many ways, better than what Christmas has become with the commercialization of it, because Thanksgiving is a time to look back in gratitude and thanks to God, and also for repentance is the history of it. But, you know, I often think, you know, when we talk about Thanksgiving and people talk about how healthy it is to have an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude, I often wonder, for people who don't believe in God, who are they thankful to? Who are they grateful to? What are they thankful for? Is it just to random chance processes that they express their gratitude? I don't really understand it, but yeah, you had something else that you wanted to cover.
Yeah, I want to make sure that I let people know that homesteadproducts.shop is having a sale on their crazy-ass gun lube. So if you do a lot of shooting and you need new gun lube, go check out homesteadproducts.shop. It's a micro-lubricant that attaches to the metal surface at the molecular level with no buildup. It repels moisture and prevents rust. It doesn't run like other oily lubricants do. It doesn't get sticky or pick up dust or dirt or gum up. It will not attract lint or hair and has no foul odor. So if you're looking for a new gun lube, if you're almost out, want to get something that's high quality, go to homesteadproducts.shop and check out their crazy-ass gun lube. And of course, you can get 10% off all the products at homesteadproducts.shop by using promo code KNIGHT. And of course,
they have some great stuff.
Yeah,
they do.
They work very, very hard to make sure that their products are high quality, made in America, and they're things that you can actually use that are actually useful. And quickly, I want to remind you that you can go to subscribestar.com/TheDavidKnightShow if you'd like to support us directly. It's a very easy way. It's fire and forget. You can sign up, and then it will charge you monthly based on whatever card you've put in. The only time you ever need to worry about it is if your card, you know, gets canceled or expires. So we thank everyone on Subscribestar. And if you go there and sign up, I try to, or every day I post the links to the show, and I try to make sure that I post all the articles that we cover on the show as well.
Yes. You know, a lot of times I have people say, what was that article that you're talking about? So we put that up for people. There's a reference as well.
Also, I got a comment here from Karen Carpenter. It says, good morning, Travis. How's the puppy? We need a puppy cam update. Did you give him a name? The puppy's doing great. He is he's a lot of fun. He was very, very young when he was taken from his mother. You know, we encountered them with just three puppies. The mother was nowhere to be found. So he's very bitey, and he doesn't have, you know, a mother there to kind of put him in his place and say, hey, stop that, knock that off. So, you know, I'm getting scratches and little bite marks all over my hands as we're doing our best to work with him. But he's at the age where he doesn't really understand, so you just have to redirect him.
The worst one was your son. We were up there. Karen and I were sitting there watching him last week, and I was looking at something else, and I hear Karen like, stop them, stop them. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. I look around, and Travis's son is sitting on the floor just wailing because the puppy's got his foot, is gnawing on it, and it's like, ah, this is like a nightmare, you know? He doesn't know what to do to get the puppy off.
No babies or puppies were hurt. It was just shocking for him.
No skin was broken, but he was like...
He was just very surprised.
I guess it shocked us because Karen had a nightmare that night that she was... because she'd gone to Florida for the funerals, and she had a nightmare that there was an alligator that did that to her. It's like, that's not the way they operate. They would definitely break the skin. Mm-hmm. And they'd drag you into the water and do the death roll.
But, yeah, we did decide on a name as well. We decided we'd name him Bishop. I like the name Bishop. And also, you know, it's the name of the android from the original Alien film. Fun fact about that, he was played by Ian Holm. Ian Holm played Bilbo in the Lord of the Rings films, and he also voiced Frodo in the Lord of the Rings radio adaptation from
this guy's everywhere. He's like Michael Caine.
Yeah. So his name is Bishop. You'll probably be seeing more of him. Who knows? Maybe I can send Lance a picture of him, and we'll get it pulled up for you by the end of the show or something.
Plus, it sounds good together, Bishop Knight.
Mm-hmm. Got a chess motif going on.
Yeah, I remember I interviewed Tony Rook out of the UK. He did a mock trial about 9/11 and a documentary about that. And his name was Tony Rook. And so he said, yeah, Rook and Knight. But with Bishop and Rook, you could actually do a castling move, which we can't do with a knight. But anyway, so Thanksgiving, of course. And we rebroadcast some of my comments about the original Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving. 1621, and you know what? As they originally came, they were very explicit about why they came. It was to spread the Christian faith because they wanted to help the Indians who were here. And when we look at a Christian nationalism, this is what I think of when I think of it. And that is the aspect that we are going to establish a nation based on Christian principles. Not the fact that we are going to have everybody attend a particular church or something like that. And that means Christian principles that don't murder people that are struggling in the water. I'm disgusted with these people. Anyway, only about half of the original 102 members who boarded in England a year earlier survived the sea voyage and the cruel winter of the New World. And that was one of the things I think was so amazing when we went to... Plymouth Rock. One year we looked at it, and they had the ships, replicas of the ships that were there. And I remember looking at that thing. How in the world could you get 100 people on that ship? Were they standing shoulder to shoulder the entire voyage? I just didn't get it. I mean, you know, you talk about living conditions that people were under at that time, and of course the big effort by the New York Times and the left to create the 1619 Project was to deny our Christian heritage and to change our heritage into one of greed and slavery that was on exhibit in Jamestown.
And the thing is, in all periods of history, in anywhere you look, you can find examples to point to make your case for, look, these people were just nothing but cruel, vindictive, evil people. You can point to and pull specific examples out if you want to from any time period, from any culture, anywhere.
And you can do that with any historical figure as well. Mm-hmm. You can look at somebody's life and you can point to the best things that they did or the best things that they said, or you can point to the worst aspects of it, because everybody is a mixture of good and bad, and so it just is how you choose to portray it and what your motivations are in terms of making something look good or look bad. But I think it's always good to go back and to, you know, eat the meat and throw out the bones, especially on Thanksgiving, right? I don't have any bones to pick.
This is one of the meatiest times in history in terms of the good that came out of it. It is one of the best. There's good and bad from everything, but this is one of the few times where the good definitely outweighed the bad by a large margin, which is, of course, why they want to deconstruct it all.
And the Indians and the Pilgrims lived together in peace for about four generations, and then that fourth turning happened, and there was a war, and so people can argue about who started the war, as they always do. And you will always, depending on your perspective, you choose one side or the other, but it's very difficult to tell on most of these things which side started the war. But they did live at peace for quite some time there.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And it is truly an amazing story. I would encourage you, if you have children or grandchildren, to look at the story of Squanto in terms of God's providence and how he helped them and how he was really miraculously, providentially put in place there when these people landed. And why they land, and the fact that they landed there was strange enough. I mean, they were headed for Northern Virginia. A storm blew them off course, and then they realized that. Tried to put out to sea several times, kept getting pushed back and pushed back. Finally, they land, and at the place where they land, there's an Indian who speaks English and has been trained, because he was kidnapped earlier but then released by a Christian. He was trained in the meantime about how to grow food and things, which the Pilgrims, for all of their great motivations, had no practical skills whatsoever. It's kind of like we look at things, if society breaks down, there's going to be a lot of Pilgrims out there, and especially from the sense that John Wayne would always say, well, Pilgrim, you know, kind of like you're here and you're out of your depth. So you think you're going to survive this or not? But yeah, it was a very interesting story.
The providence of it is amazing, how they get blown way off course to the one spot where there's very, very few Indians that could speak English and help them out. It's kind of like in Star Trek or wherever, where they go to a planet and everyone,
it was a Star Trek moment.
And they all speak English. Free there.
That's right. Yeah, nobody ever said that about Star Trek. How providential. We've gone to a planet where, the gravity is the same, the air is the same, and they even can speak English like us. So, but anyway, it didn't become an official holiday until the 1940s, even though it was a Thanksgiving decoration by Washington, and you had Benjamin Franklin lectured the people there, said, you know, God's providence. We have to have seen how God's providence helped us to prevail against Great Britain, the biggest nation in the world, and told them that they needed to proceed with daily prayer as they had when they fought the war, in order to put together the Constitution. But then after that, you had the idea that it wasn't something that people should do. Again, Jefferson felt that there should not be a proclamation, and he took the position, even though the separation of church and state, that letter, that phrase in that letter to the Danbury Baptists, was to say there is a wall around the federal government, and we are not going to establish and pick one Christian denomination to be the official federal established religion. There were established religions in almost all of the states at the time the federal government was created, and they did not end with the First Amendment. They continued in Massachusetts and other places into the 1830s and 1840s. And so it wasn't about that, and it wasn't about suppressing the exercise of your religion as a member of the government or as a government employee at a school or any other place. It was never about that. They kind of read that into that because of Jefferson's refusal to issue a Thanksgiving proclamation. But it was later done by Abraham Lincoln during the war, and every president subsequent to that would put out a proclamation. Roosevelt made it official in 1941. As a matter of fact, he picked, he moved it earlier than had traditionally been done by a week, because he wanted to kick off the Christmas shopping, season a little bit earlier. And, during the Depression, the tail end of the Depression. And people did not like him moving it, so they pushed back against that. But it became official with him then. And so now we have, in 2025, we have Trump's official Thanksgiving declaration, which really was not a declaration of thanks. It was really more of a bah humbug and him boasting about what he had done. So it was, rather than thanking God a great deal, he was thanking himself and patting himself on the back, as you would expect, while War Pete is bragging about the murders that he's committed. So the founders, even the least religious, possessed a healthy fear of providence and were humble enough to invite God's blessing on their land. Today, similar official declarations would be met by the secularists with derision and the tiresome warning about the threat that Christianity presents to democracy. But while the men who made this great nation didn't want a theocracy, they certainly didn't envision a people who enjoy the fruits of prosperity and freedom without acknowledging their divine source, and neither should we. So let's not be afraid to bow our heads in gratitude, and let's not forget to confess our sins, like the national sin of unprovoked wars and murder. Unashamed. Murder of the unborn, murder of civilians, whether it is genocidal for land, whether it is not necessarily to kill all Venezuelans, but just we just want to take their oil, that's all. It's still reprehensible, and it is a national sin. Let's pray for God to heal and renew this unique experiment in self-government, writes World Magazine, and I agree with them. And it is a celebration of family as well. And that is the other nice thing about it. It doesn't, they've not found really a way to to commercialize it, which is really astonishing, you know, when you look at this. They've commercialized everything else. Every other holiday is incredibly commercialized, but not Thanksgiving, which is unusual. I guess you could say that Black Friday is a commercialization of it, you know, but
it's creeping in along the edges.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, the that is the strange thing about Trump, is what a curmudgeon he was. Scrooge McDonald Trump. Republican strategist who was on CNN said he can't even believe Trump's Thanksgiving Day rant. This was the rant that he had against Tim Walz, calling him seriously retarded and saying that Ilhan Omar, a Somali immigrant, always wrapped in her swaddling hijab. Well, we should understand the issue that is, he's saying it in the worst possible way, but there's a great deal of truth and the problem that has been created there in Minnesota, and that has been that Tim Walz has been a part of, because he wants to get the votes of the Muslims there in Little Mogadishu, which is what people are calling Minneapolis now. He wants those votes, the people who supported Ilhan Omar, and he saddles up right next to her. And so this one guy who was on CNN, his name is Abdul. He said, when I saw it yesterday, I was like, oh, bro, you got to be kidding me now. Because he said something like, I think it was swaddling clothing. He said, you're using the image we usually associate with Christmas and Christ and Jesus, and you're saying that is a swaddling hijab. Well, I think Tim Walz has been swaddling the Muslims over there. This is...
Did money from Minnesota taxpayers earmarked to feed hungry children wind up in the hands of a Somali terrorist group? The allegations center around a massive welfare fraud case being brought in Minnesota. A 78th defendant was charged just today. And now reports are
Al-Shabaab.
That some of the stolen money may have wound up in the hands of Al-Shabaab, a Somali-based terror group. In response, President Trump says he intends to end deportation protections for about 700 Somali nationals in Minnesota, calling Minnesota a, quote, hub for Somali gang networks, though he's provided no evidence for that. So
you just provide the evidence
on the ground. Investigative correspondent Rich McHugh is at the federal courthouse in Minneapolis, Minnesota for us tonight. Rich, what are you learning?
Hi, Elizabeth. Well, we're at the federal courthouse where that 78th indictment came down just a few hours ago. All of it tied to feeding our future. That's the
corrupt. Kind of looks like a hub.
The center of all of this fraud. We spoke with current and former federal sources, and they tell us billions have been stolen since 2019, that Minnesota is just riddled with fraud, and that a lot of this money goes back to Somalia, and a cut of all that money has gone to the Al-Qaeda-linked terror group Al-Shabaab. But I want to, like, reset this for viewers because it's complicated. This all stems from Feeding Our Future. That's the largest COVID fraud ever. These criminals opened more than 200 federal child nutrition program sites throughout Minnesota, and sites lied.
COVID was a fraud.
Thousands of children a day. They created fake attendance rosters, fake invoices, and the government reimbursed them. David Gaither, he's a former state senator here. He saw this firsthand.
I covered this, this is the Safari before COVID.
Downtown Minneapolis. This is the epicenter of some of the biggest fraud and waste and abuse in this area. The owner right now is currently in jail, federal jail. This restaurant, which seats about 35, supposedly served 18,000 plus meals a day.
A day?
A day for 7 months. 18,000 plus.
That's a lot of people, 25 at a time.
She was a fixture at this restaurant, the Safari, during her run for office. I think we have a photo of her at the restaurant with her supporters in 2018. Feeding Our Future, that's that corrupt nonprofit. It was the epicenter of it, but others spawned from it. There were home relocation services, child autism. They were bilking $399 million in services fraud in 2023 alone. To date, 86 people have been indicted and counting. Federal authorities tell News Nation 79 of them are of Somali descent.
They were feeding their future. They were telling you what they were doing, just not in the way that you might think.
Those that are perpetrators of the crime. We are not holding accountable those that created the opportunity to have those persons do what they did.
And that would be?
The policymaker, the attorney general, and the administration.
Now, federal sources that we...
He means Tim Walz.
Several of them said the same thing to me, Elizabeth. They say there's a saying in the Somali community...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure. But I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino.
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Do you hear that? When it rains in Minneapolis, umbrellas go up in Mogadishu. That just about sums it up. Back to you.
Wow. Almost 100 people charged in this scheme so far. Rich McHugh reporting in Minneapolis. Thanks so much.
And I remember covering that because I remember laughing at the name El Shabaab. It reminded me of Quick Draw McGraw and his El Kabab or whatever.
El Kabong.
Yeah. But this is what it looks like there in Minneapolis. This is a football stadium that they took over by Somalis so they could hold a large group prayer. So whenever you got a large number of people like this, they can control politicians like Tim Walz.
I would have sent ICE in there. That's what I would have done.
Are meant to be for and struggle for. These values were...
And so when you look at the timeline of Somali fraud, this is another report.
Center of a major fraud case. Federal prosecutors indicted five people for their roles in offering a juror $120,000 for a not guilty verdict in the Feeding Our Future fraud scheme. The U.S. attorney says the group targeted juror 52 because she was the youngest juror.
You commit fraud, then we'll...
Only juror of color.
We'll bribe the jurors.
They dug up information on her family online and even put a GPS tracking device on her car to track her whereabouts. During their investigation, investigators uncovered a video of one of the defendants leaving a bag of money at the juror's home. You may recall, the juror came forward with the bribe, and five of the seven defendants were found guilty of fraud. They were convicted for stealing millions of dollars from the government meant to feed hungry kids during the pandemic.
Well, again, saying that Ilhan Omar was wearing a swaddling hijab was probably one of the least insults that he could have leveled at her. The real stuff was actually more damaging, which is the problem, because that's part of what Trump's gimmick is. It's really kind of a WWE gimmick, the name calling and all the rest of the stuff, rather than pointing out the reality of what's going on there. I hope they do something, but we'll have to wait and see.
One of the worst things is Minnesota is full of such, you know, corn-fed, pure Americana-type individuals, and they are being absolutely screwed over by the governments importing these people. The government then caters to these people. They allow them to, you know, fleece the system.
Well, it's because they've been completely indoctrinated by their school system to be passive and gullible with all this stuff.
Plus, they're importing a large enough voting block that it doesn't matter if they wake up at a certain point.
That's right.
And, of course, the Muslims have tons of kids. So, yeah, you keep importing them, but then they also just start breeding a giant base of their own people in your country as well.
Yeah.
And Minnesota is, sadly, occupied territory at this point.
Yeah, it's a big problem. He needs to do something about it. The question is, will he do something about it? You know, this is one place where you, you know, should round the people up and send them home. Do it legally, and I'm sure that there's plenty of legal reasons to do this. That fraud is not just limited to 78 people or whatever.
Yeah. Also, again, this is another one of those things where it's like, there is no amount of Somalians that improves the United States. They have nothing to offer. What are they mainly known for?
Ilhan Omar?
They're mainly known for being pirates. That's what they're known for. When you think of Somalis, you think of these violent thugs on the high seas that take over container ships. That's what they're for.
They've given us other pirates like Ilhan Omar and Keith Ellison, who, again, that's the left's tool. It's kind of interesting, though, on the right, as we see Trump going off on everybody on Thanksgiving. Again, he puts out a Thanksgiving proclamation and basically thanking himself and ingratiating himself and then going on this tirade against all of his political enemies. This article from NBC News, the campaign to make Richard Nixon great again. Make Nixon great again. And I got to say, you know, if you are looking at Richard Nixon and thinking that he is... going to be vindicated, I think you've lost the plot, conservatives. I mean, I look at Richard Nixon. This is the guy that started the war on drugs that we've been talking about, and he took the UN agenda and the schedule of, you know, the four different classifications of drugs and how they went, that was all created by the UN. And he enacted that and called it his war on drugs. He had no respect for the Constitution, for the rule of law. He was a Machiavellian figure going after his political enemies, creating secret wars, putting a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. That was one of the things that I caught on to when I was just learning how to drive that made me dislike Richard Nixon. You'll never rehabilitate Richard Nixon in my eyes. But then as I got older and learned more history, I realized many other aspects of it in terms of the secret bombing of Cambodia and other things like that. And I just got to say, if you like Richard Nixon, you must love Henry Kissinger, because Henry Kissinger, Mr. Bilderberg himself, was the guy who essentially ran the Nixon administration. Just like you had Zbigniew Brzezinski run the Carter administration, the guy who created the Trilateral Commission and all the rest of the stuff. These globalists, and you can go back and look at the trends, the opening to China that was so celebrated by Richard Nixon, even by the left, they celebrated that. And Stephen Sondheim even wrote a musical about Nixon in China. I never saw it. But I mean, that is an indicator of how popular that was with the left, who, by the way, embraced the globalist agenda. But Richard Nixon embraced the globalist agenda with the UN war on drugs, and he embraced it by bringing in China, and that was Henry Kissinger doing that, the Bilderberger. They knew they could make China the beta test site for what the technocracy wanted to do to everybody, and also for population reduction, the one-child policy that they sold in the name of protecting the climate, and yet look at who's given a pass on CO2. China and India can have as many, or China, for example, the globalists say, well, you can have as much CO2 as you want, but just not as many children as you want, right? That's what they pushed on them. And so you got people like Christopher Rufo, who addresses a studio audience with Bill Maher, and he says, the Watergate scandal that toppled Nixon was a setup from start to finish. Well, yeah, so what? Everything these people do is Machiavellian and a setup from start to finish. The stuff that Nixon did was a setup from start to finish. The stuff the people that opposed him did was a setup from start to finish. These are two calculating gangs of criminals coming after each other. So I really don't care about that. What I care about is the kinds of things that Richard Nixon did and is known for. Well, when the president does it, it's not it's not illegal, right? And that's how we get to the point where, well, when Trump orders it, it's not illegal. The president orders it, it's not illegal. It doesn't matter if you're killing people floating in the water or whatever. It's not illegal. So, again, the judge was out to get Nixon, says Rufo. Yes.
It's kind of the whole thing that we're seeing where they'll go after the reporters. They'll talk about the person asking the question, but they won't say that you're wrong. It's, well, the people that came after Nixon were establishment insiders. Well, yes, that's true, but they weren't wrong in this case.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. You didn't get the Kissinger clip that I sent you, did you, Lance?
I did not.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to play that. Henry Kissinger, we're missing you, diplomat of our dreams, with your curly hair and your glassy stare and your Machiavellian schemes. Well, I guess they must miss Henry Kissinger because they're missing Nixon. The Watergate scandal has long been viewed as a defining moment in presidential corruption and accountability, says NBC. It became shorthand for political scandal and lent the omnipresent gate suffix to many scandals that followed, right? It's always this gate and that gate. Now you got a lot of right-wing figures who insist that Watergate was actually an underhanded scheme by the deep state and the press to take down a popular Republican president. Yeah, so what? He had his own schemes, didn't he, for things that he wanted to do. The press and the other party wanted to take him down. That's always the case. How do you excuse what he did with the war? How do you excuse what he did with China? How do you excuse what he did with so many different things? And his wage and price controls, how do conservatives embrace all that stuff? You know, it always surprised me. Roger Stone has a tattoo of a smiling Nixon on his back. He used to say, yeah, I think Nixon stabbed me in the back as well, repeatedly, just like your tattoo. But beyond Rufo, the conservative media personalities like Tucker Carlson, Michael Knowles, and Steve Bannon have pushed a revisionist Watergate narrative in the past year. Hillsdale College has called it a scam, and even actor Bill Murray. Well, there we go. That's the final word. If Bill Murray says it, that's got to be true, right? Says Nixon might have been framed. Again, these are the kinds of spy versus spy garbage that these people do. So I really don't care about whether or not Watergate was a legitimate thing. We saw what he did with it. And again, I despised Nixon. He was arrogant, corrupt, grasping power. I remember as vice president, you know, how did we get Gerald Ford? He was taken out of the House because of, and put in vice presidency because Richard Nixon's vice president was taking suitcases full of cash in his office in the White House. That's how corrupt Nixon and these other people were. I remember Nixon cultivating this idea that he was a Quaker. And then you get these tapes where he's doing this Machiavellian scheming and using the most foul language that you can imagine for the 1970s. And so BLM, Russiagate, gender ideology, left-wing terrorism, all of the current challenges can be understood through the prism of Watergate frame-up, said Rufo. Nixon was one of the 20th century's greatest presidents. Well, I tell you what, I understand these.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Things, and I understand Nixon and what a creep he was. That was the committee to reelect the president. It's called creep, appropriately. But also self, not aware of how much of a creep and a criminal he really was, you know. I am not a crook. Yes, you are. Yes, you were. So Ken Hughes, a researcher at University of Virginia's Miller Center, considered one of the most foremost experts on audio tapes from the Nixon White House, so the recordings clearly demonstrate that Nixon was a ringleader of the abuses of power that we group under the heading of Watergate. They show Nixon deliberately, consciously, and illegally weaponized the government against those he considered to be political threats. He was the prototype for Trump. If Trump is precedent, Nixon was Trump's precedent. Nixon was trying to keep his enemies list secret. He was trying to keep the fact that he was weaponizing the government against people secret. Biden and Trump don't make any secret of it, do they? His congressional career defined him as a strident anti-communist, but as president, he opened diplomacy with China. Well, that's because he wasn't a conservative or anti-communist. He was the man of the globalists, a man under the control of Henry Kissinger, Mr. Bilderberg himself. And again, to defend Nixon, is to defend Kissinger. They recount the different aspects of it. I'm just amazed to see these people who, here's the defense that the conservatives make. They contend that Nixon was oblivious to much of it until after it happened. Isn't that the same thing that we hear Alex Jones say about Donald Trump? And maybe he got that talking point from Roger. So, I don't know. They don't talk about due process for us, but they say, well, he was denied due process. His due process rights were violated by prosecutors. And these are the people defending Trump who's violating due process for millions of people. It's just amazing. Our government denies that to everybody all the time now. So Monica Crowley said in July that full vindication, I think, of President Nixon is coming to pass. Not with me. Never be vindicated. Only perhaps he will look good compared to Trump, just like Jimmy Carter looked good compared to Biden, because this country is going down the drain. We are circling the drain. And so these presidents that we have now are not any worse. Maybe they are, maybe they are worse than the worst presidents in recent American history for the last 50, 70 years or so. And if you don't believe me, just take a look at the politicians in Washington who are jumping off of this sinking ship like rats. That's what's happening in the GOP and also with Democrats even. You got 18 congressmen say they're not going to run for re-election. These are GOP congressmen. And you've got another 8 Democrats who say they're not going to do it. And which is also noteworthy because the Democrats expect that they're going to have the majority. It's really not any fun when you're in the minority. It's not much fun anymore when you're in the majority with the kind of rules that have been put in place by Pelosi, by Boehner, and by Mike Johnson. When you're operating under that kind of a situation, nobody has any say in anything. They don't represent us. They have no voice because the speaker has controlled everything. That's one of the reasons these people are getting out. And when the House returns from Thanksgiving, the GOP speaker will face a chamber in chaos. That is today. He and his team have struggled to maintain control of the floor in recent weeks, as made clear by the recent unsanctioned push from rank-and-file members to release the Epstein files. But that's not the end of it. Members of both parties are increasingly feeling emboldened to buck party leadership, forcing votes on personal priorities, including a spate of recent votes to punish fellow lawmakers. Mike Johnson said, "I would like to just get back to normal Congress." Well, he was recently on a show where he was talking about how frustrating it was. And it was pretty clear that what he was talking about was the fact that he's not his own man. He just does whatever Trump tells him to do. He finds that very frustrating, just like the rest of the people in the House find it frustrating that they have no say in what they want to do, that Mike Johnson is dictating that to them. And so then we have Marjorie Taylor Greene leaving. It's not just her. Like I said, it's going to be 18 Republicans and 8 Democrats. And they said more retirement announcements are expected around the holidays. People get out of Washington and they look at the normal world and it's like, I don't want to go back to that place. And so they usually have a lot of people who come back and say that. As a matter of fact, they quote a Democrat, Emmanuel Cleaver, from Missouri, who is a Methodist pastor, or was. He says, "As I told my family last night, the House has just had a nervous breakdown. I don't know what kind of drug we need, but it's time for somebody to give us a prescription." He said, "Members are talking about it amongst ourselves. What's going on with this place?" He said he's had to arrange for more security when he's at home because of death threats that people in Congress are getting increasingly. And with the House gone for 54 days during the historic government shutdown, it only took a week for drama to overtake the lower chamber. In just 5 days, lawmakers brought forward 4 resolutions to punish various colleagues. After not being in session for so long, 1 week has got everybody ready to go home. After the Epstein push, more lawmakers in both parties are now eager to force their own votes using the discharge petition. Once rarely successful, but now increasingly part of a member strategy to work around Johnson. So what is Johnson's cure for this? What is the Johnson syndrome of power? Well, he wants to get rid of the discharge petitions. You got a way to work around what I do. I'm going to control what gets to the floor. It's got to come through me. If we don't like something, it never gets brought up for vote or discussion. And so now he wants to shut down the discharge orders as well. Again, when you look at all of this and you look at the threats of political violence that people are getting all the time, it's not a surprise that Marjorie Taylor Greene would want to get out. I think she has other things in mind as well, and she knows that regardless of whether these accusations that be made against her from all these Zionist billionaires with all their money running character assassination things, it would damage her, whether it was true or not, just by the sheer volume and repetition of the lies. And so it's probably a pretty smart move if she wants to run for governor or senator or president or whatever her ambition is. But Trump, by the way, when we look at his financial stuff, maybe one of the reasons why he was in such a bad mood was because his bets on his brands have really gone south, says Wall Street Journal. They have soured. Stocks and cryptocurrencies tied to the president and his family have tumbled amid a broader rout of riskier assets. They point out that the Trump coin is down 86% and the Melania coin is down 99% since they went public. And it said one of the Trump family's crypto ventures, a token called World Liberty Financial, has dropped roughly 40% since its September launch.
So with the Melania coin, it's a bear market, B-A-R.
Yeah. Well, her Melania coin is down 99%. And there was a report a couple of weeks ago that it was less valuable than another meme coin, the fart coin.
You have to understand, fart coin is the only thing holding up the American economy. And when fart coin goes to zero, we're all doomed.
That's right. Maybe
the world
Trump
we
should
live in, Melania's down, farts are up.
Maybe Trump should rename his coin Old Fart Coin. That might bring it back. Who knows? If people want to get a fart coin, like a Doge coin. Comment here and then we'll go to break.
Nibiru 2029 says the CIA drug lords will not stand for any independent competition.
Yeah, that's right.
Good movie about the CIA is The Good Shepherd with Matt Damon. Very, very creepy. Very, very disturbing. Shows you all kinds of weird stuff they get up to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll just remind you we're going to be playing Christmas songs between now and the Christmas holidays. And we do still have the Christmas Night album that is up, and we're going to have a couple of new songs that we will be playing for you soon. We don't have enough new songs to do an album. It was kind of a rough year this year.
It's been kind of one thing after the other.
Yeah. But anyway, here's our ad from last year about the Christmas Night album.
I wish I had the Christmas Night album.
You can get the Christmas Night album at thedavidknightshow.com for just $13.99.
It's right in the second floor there, see?
What'd you wish, George?
Well, not just one wish, a whole hatful. First, I'm going to thedavidknightshow.com and purchase the Christmas Night album. Then I'm going to listen to Christmas classics, like... Are you going to throw a rock?
I want the Christmas Night album, too.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight?
David's Christmas Night album includes 21 instrumental Christmas melodies like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Silent Night, and his all new I'll Be Home for Christmas. What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it, pull it down.
I'll take it. Then what?
And then I'll buy you your own download of David Knight's Christmas Night album.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
That's right, boys and girls. There's a post-election sale on silver and gold. Trump euphoria has caused a dip in silver and gold. It's time to buy some metals with fiat dollars before they come to their cents. Go to davidknight.gold to get in touch with the wise wolf himself, Tony Arterburn. He knows where to look to find silver and gold.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
Yeah, so last year we had the pun, time to get silver and gold before people come to their senses. And before, you know, the crypto fad around Trump got a bit old. Who would have thought that Trump would ban the penny that we held up there? But that's kind of the way that it's been this last year. And so now we got, you know, silver and gold. It was all gold until just recently. And then over the weekend, silver exploded in a rally that's reshaping the metals bull market. And again, we had reported that there had been drastic shortages of silver, that for 5 years they've been using more silver because it is consumed than they are mining. And so as this Kitco article points out, gold has broken away from the rest of the precious metals pack thanks to its role as a true monetary metal. Central banks have been driving unprecedented demand as they look to diversify away from fiat currencies and into something more stable and tangible. Silver, with all of its volatility, simply didn't fit the bill for the official sector holders. But that singular demand has pushed the silver-gold ratio to extremes. In April, it soared above 100, a five-year high, and miles away from its long-term average of between 50 and 60, the ratio of the price of gold to silver. So silver usually outperforms because of its volatility. Instead, it has lagged for years, casting a shadow of skepticism over the whole precious metals trade. But that skepticism is folding fast. Silver is ending the week at a record high above $56 an ounce. It is up an eye-popping 97% since January. Gold, meanwhile, is around $4,200, a year-to-date gain of nearly 61%. And again, it's not that they're going up in value, it's that the dollar is going down in value and that these are being priced in the U.S. dollar. The ratio between the two, silver and gold, which hit 100 in April, has now plunged to 74. Investors are finally waking up to how scarce silver has become. Industrial demand, tied to the accelerating electrification of the global economy, has produced significant supply deficits for five straight years. We saw the first big wave at the start of the year when massive volumes of silver poured into the U.S. as traders braced for potential tariffs under Trump's global war of trade. Silver ultimately wasn't tariffed, but the fear never fully dissipated, especially after Washington officially labeled it a critical metal. All of that extra metal sitting in the U.S. then tightened physical inventories elsewhere, especially in London's over-the-counter market. One thing they leave out of this article that we reported on earlier was the mania about getting silver as part of a Indian religious ceremony. Typically, they would go out and they would get gold or whatever, but they had some Indian influencers who said, this year you should get silver. And so they all jumped into getting silver, which caused a big shortage on the London market as well. Some silver did leave the U.S. and China as traders chased those premiums, but rising demand in Asia and India especially only deepened the supply crunch. So silver could flow out of the U.S. vaults, but then that would just shift the next supply crunch west. With demand surging and no easy supply fix in sight, analysts say silver's newfound strength may be more than just a short-term burst. And of course, it has helped to push gold as well, since the two of them are lumped together as precious metals. So you have Wall Street bulls moved up through 4,200 on Friday. Main Street adds to the bullish momentum after a 3.5% weekly gain. So now it's getting to the point where Main Street is getting into this, not just Wall Street or the central banks. You got Morgan Stanley saying gold will hit $4,500 an ounce, they believe, by mid-2026. And the reason they give is because of ETFs, central bank demand, and hedging of real assets. And again, when you look at, they focus kind of on the ETFs, and that's the trade out of the Shanghai Gold Exchange, where you have these two big funds, GLD for gold and SLV for silver, where you get the paper, gold and silver that we talk about. You're not really buying gold and silver with that. You're buying into a fund that owns gold and silver, and it doesn't track the price of gold and silver going up or down. Which
you're buying into a fund that allegedly owns gold and silver.
Yeah, and you don't know if they get it or not. And so they're scrambling around to get gold and silver for these funds, they say. But, you know, there's a troubling amount of people between you and the gold and silver as far as I'm concerned with this stuff. I don't trust it. But I think an even bigger factor is going to be than the ETFs is going to be stable coins. ETFs, when they talk about Main Street, that's the way a lot of people are buying into gold and silver is with these ETF funds because it's easy to do. And it's like a stock or something. So if somebody wants to get out of the stock market, the first thing they think is, well, I'll buy the silver and gold ETFs because it's very much like a stock market trade. But it's too much like a stock market trade. I think, though, that stable coins like Tether and others are going to really drive the price of gold up because they're going to be accumulating a lot of it as well. Anybody that wants financial credibility, whether it's central banks or whether it is stable coins or whether it's the BRIC.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino's a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Countries, everybody wants to have a have gold to bolster the value, the real value of what they have, because everything else is kind of derivative from that. And stable coins are really a way for them to move away, to try to get Federal Reserve notes, which the central banks and other governments don't want to buy as much anymore. They're turning away from that. And so the strategy is to try to get the retail trade to buy it. And the way they do that is to get people to put their money into stable coins. But they're not going to be stable, and they're not going to be keeping their value unless the stable coins start buying gold and things like that. So I think there's going to be a big move into the stable coins. They want to protect the U.S. government. So this is Trump is going to give them the keys to the kingdom to do that. And so they want to protect the U.S. bonds by being a holder of U.S. bonds and spreading that out globally at the retail level. But there's also the desire by these people who are running this, people like Lutnick and people like Eric Trump, who are saying that stablecoins are going to replace banks. And they don't just mean the local banks. They mean all banks, including central banks. They want to be the ones who are buying the and keeping the treasury bills. But it is something where they talk about the getting rid of the penny. That is the key function, I think, performed by these local banks. The fact that when you pay for something in cash, that merchant can take the cash and put it in their bank account. And if they don't have a local bank to do that with, I'm not really sure what happens to the cash trade. It's going to be very difficult, especially when you've got something that's fast and divisible like a stable coin. But as Peter Schiff pointed out, if they start accumulating gold, you could wind up having the real cryptocurrency backed by gold rather than it being something like Bitcoin. Well,
another thing about this, if the price increase of gold is being pushed by these companies buying it up for ETFs and people buying ETFs, when all that collapses, when people realize that they don't actually own the gold that they think they do on paper, that is going to cause the price to go up. There's going to be a lot less gold in circulation than people realize.
That's right.
Because you look at these things, I think most, if not all,
Tony has mentioned that as well. It's like this is a kind of a shell game. When people realize it's a fraud, it's really going to get people scrambling for the real stuff, the physical stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You look at the ETFs. If they're selling these assets for less than the gold that they claim to have is worth, then how are they making money? Clearly, there's some suspicious thing going on. They aren't just giving away gold for less than they're paying for it.
Yeah, that's right. I don't like tokenized assets at all, and that's basically what these ETFs are. So we got Morgan Stanley and also UBS, both of them picking a price of $4,500 by mid-2026. That makes sense because we are going to see accelerating chaos as the fourth turning draws closer and closer to a finale. But think about that. Where it is right now, it's about $4,200. If it goes up to $4,500 by the middle of next year, let's say another 6 months or so, that's 7% higher in 6 months. You're not going to find any investments that you as an individual can make that are going to pay that kind of yield. If that is true, again, UBS raised its 2026 mid-year gold target to $4,500 an ounce, up from $4,200 previously because it's just hit that. The bank also raised its upside target for gold by $200 to $4,900 per ounce on a possible spike of political and financial risks. But they maintained their downside case at $3,700 per ounce. UBS analysts said on the downside, they said that there is a potential for federal hawkishness. I don't think there's a chance of that. Remember that this year, Trump gets to take control of the Federal Reserve in 2026 because, Powell is going to be out and Trump is going to have a say as to who the next person is going to be. And who is Trump going to put in there? He's going to put in somebody who's going to monetize the debt, who's going to print money, do quantitative easing, lower interest rates. All of that is going to feed gold. So I don't think there's going to be any federal hawkishness. I don't think there's a chance of that. If it happens at all, it would be very, very short-lived, and then everything is going to go in the opposite direction. So demand has now shifted to China for silver, as reserves on the Shanghai Gold Exchange have fallen to their lowest level in decades. How do you even know what they've got? Just trust them, right? Do you want your money Shanghai'd? Do you trust the Chinese government that is involved in these things as well? So it is, it's kind of interesting. You know, Russia's central bank is forced to sell gold to cover the budget and to support the ruble. This is one of the things that will temper some of not a hawkishness from the Federal Reserve, but if other things start to go south, for example, if you've got the big investors who have bought stocks on margin, and if the stocks go down, they get called on it. They've got to cover that. What are they going to do? Well, if they've got gold, they're going to sell it because gold is up. So that's a way for them to cover their margin calls. And so we could see on the downside of this, if the stock market bubble bursts, the mania bursts, then you could see people covering by selling gold. And that is something's being done with Russia, but it hasn't brought the price of gold down, really. For the first time in history, the Central Bank of Russia has begun selling from its reserves directly into the domestic market, enabling banks and state-owned companies and investment firms to purchase sovereign gold, according to a report from Ukrainian News Service. This is a forced step. Gold is effectively becoming a tool to support the ruble, to patch up corporate liquidity and cover budget needs amid the rapid depletion of other resources. The move is unprecedented. Before 2025, the Central Bank of Russia never sold its gold to commercial market participants, only receiving it through the Ministry of Finance to increase its reserves. But the country's National Welfare Fund, seeing it...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America. a social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Liquid assets decline from $113 billion to 2020 and 2022 to $51 billion in 2025. The central bank has no choice but to sell off its reserves. When you talk about those kinds of numbers and you realize just how much smaller the Russian economy is in terms of GDP and other things like that, it fell from $113 billion 2022 to $51 billion, and they have had about $200 billion has been confiscated by the EU and the U.S. I'm sorry, $300 billion frozen Russian assets. So that's huge. The strategy of selling gold supposedly allows for prompt budget replenishment and ruble stability. You know, they may be communists, but they knew from the very beginning the value of gold. It was Max Warburg, the central banker in Germany, who and his brother Paul Warburg was the one who worked with J.P. Morgan to get the Federal Reserve put in. But Max Warburg sent Vladimir Lenin to start the Russian Revolution, gave him $10 million in gold, and put him on a sealed train to go from Switzerland into Russia to start the revolution. So from the very beginning, the communists knew what real money was, didn't they? Regardless of what happens here. So,
well, you have to know what's really valuable so you know what to steal.
It is communism, isn't it? It's a justification for a kleptocracy. That's Republicans are not actually interested in shrinking government, says the Mises.org. Again, it's always fake posturing and promises, just like the Epstein files, just like promises of peace in this context. They're talking about DOGE and the fact that the Office of Personnel Management says this doesn't exist anymore. They said it's hard to define where the effort to cut the federal bureaucracy stands today as anything other than a disappointment. Republicans are abandoning campaign promises to cut spending, and that's nothing new, they said. Virtually every single Republican who's run for any federal office in the last 50 years or so is guilty of this. But the beginning of Trump's second term did feel different. Why? There was a genuine, palpable, bottom-up excitement for spending cuts. Fresh off the pandemic, where federal bureaucrats helped to lock the country down and then did their best to force everyone to take patented drugs from well-connected pharmaceutical companies to get their freedoms back. Let me just insert here. Mises, come on. This is Trump directing this one. Top. Don't leave him out of this. It wasn't the federal bureaucrats alone. He was directing all this. He was bribing and blackmailing people to do all these things. And the federal bureaucrats were working for him. Nevertheless, because of this and the subsequent economic stagnation, and Thomas Massie knew this from the very beginning. He pushed back against all of this stuff. He says you're destroying the country economically. And as a result, that was the first person. He became the first person that Trump wanted to primary out because he opposed him on these damaging policies that were there. So it was followed by years of relentless price inflation and economic stagnation that federal officials said was an illusion emanating from the public's economic stupidity. Many Americans were understandably on board with the campaign to promise to gut the federal bureaucracy, but not the Republicans. It's just phony promises. And, of course, Trump's not a Republican anyway. He's a tax-and-spend Democrat. Republican politicians derail the effort because they completely accept the left-wing progressive falsehoods about programs that would have been cut. In the simplistic progressive narrative that dominates the media, the university system, and the Democrat Party, government is primarily seen as a superhuman supplier of social services. Well, that's right. I mean, you know. They are so detached from fiscal reality by the fiction of the fiat dollar that they are like the superheroes that can fly. But I think they're really like Wile E. Coyote, who's just run off of the cliff and is still running on thin air, but he's just looked down and realizes there's nothing underneath him. And at that point, he's going to plummet like a rock. And above him will be the crushing $38 trillion deficit or cumulative debt. And that'll come crashing down on him, just like Wile E. Coyote. Well, again, when we look at the GDP, there's a Russian writer saying, you know, this is a myth. You can't really measure the productivity of a country just in GDP. And he points out the fact that there was an economist in 2022, as the beginning of hostilities between Russia and Ukraine, said Russia cannot win the war. Why, he said? Well, because he said their GDP is roughly equivalent to the combined output of Belgium and the Netherlands. Russia is an economic dwarf in Europe. And so, therefore, its military operation was doomed. So the question I said, does GDP really give us an accurate representation of a country's strength? Not really. They point out this is something that was created by a Russian economist, a metric that was created by them and was made popular by Keynesian economics. And so after the war, GDP became entrenched in the grand architecture of the post-war order of Bretton Woods, the IMF, and Keynesian macroeconomic theory. Keynesianism sees the economy as a thermostat problem. If total demand is too low and output falls, the government must raise demand through fiscal spending and so forth. And yet, we saw in the 1970s that Keynesian consensus broke down, largely because it was wrong. You know, we had stagflation. How could that happen under Keynesian economics? Well, it can't. So we're about to go through something that I think will be the end of Keynesianism for good. and it will be good when we get rid of Keynesianism and deficit spending and fiat currencies. It's going to be a painful process, but you need to position yourself now into something that is outside this irrational system. And it's amazing that Federal Reserve Chair, was it Greenspan, who said irrational exuberance. That's what they've been selling you for a century, is irrational exuberance over the American dollar. Marky Mark, thank you for the tip. Says, with silver's spike, gold is only 72 times the price of silver now. It was 85 or thereabouts. That's right. It did get up, as the article said, to 100-fold over the price of silver.
That's right. We've got Skunk Hollow Rose Gardens. It says, so Trump is going to make Nixon a martyr for being the subject of prosecution by his political opponents to soften his image for doing so. Yeah. Nathan Bedford Forrest, 1865. Kissinger in memos stated he cared not who was killed in the Cambodian bombing campaigns. Kill anyone and everyone.
Yeah, sounds like we're same back in that same situation now, right?
It's all cyclical. Yeah. And he goes on to say, more bombs were dropped in just Cambodia than over Berlin and several German cities. The tonnage was astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
Bride B. Mack, surprised they didn't make you take this commercial down like the Alfred Hitchcock one.
Shh. I didn't put it up on Twitter, that's why. Yeah.
Keep it a secret.
Yeah, just between us. Okay.
Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
So technically, they shouldn't have any right to apply any copyright to It's a Wonderful Life, since they let the copyright expire and then pulled that back by saying, oh, well, we copyrighted the script under book copyright, which has longer terms, so therefore this is derivative of the script, and therefore we should have the copyright to it.
Yeah, that's right. It's only copyrighted in the U.S. because, again, the influence of the movie studios and the regulatory capture that we see because of that. Nowhere else do they recognize the copyright. They let it expire through a clerical error, and that's why it became so popular, because a lot of people, it wasn't successful, and when it's first released, there's some hokey stuff in there at the beginning that always used to put me off. But I got past that, and it is one of my more favorite films that are out there. But
Zuzu's Petals.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, how could you go bad with that, right? So, anyway, Frank Capra, it was not one of his most popular films, but, they don't really have a legitimate copyright claim, but.
And ours, of course, is still transformative and free use, even if it were copyrighted.
That's right, That's right. And it certainly applies to the Hitchcock thing. The difference, though, is just lawfare, right? Are we willing to, I just didn't want to go through this whole, you know, fundraiser and everything they would take to do battle with these people. You know, they're out there trying to justify the big fees that they charge the Hitchcock estate, so that they're looking for things to do. And, you know, they got deep, limitless pockets and all that.
Yeah, that's the part. If you're if you're in litigation with someone who has massive amounts of money more than you do, they can just bleed you dry. They never have to actually get you in court or get a judgment or anything. They can simply break you.
But we will redo that commercial, and we'll do it with an English butler that looks somewhat like Alfred Hitchcock, but won't be Alfred Hitchcock. It'll just look a lot like him. But, you know, we'll remove some of those clues there. Because people need to understand the principle of the MacGuffin thing. It's very important.
Skunk Hollow Rose Gardens, I would like to thank Wise Wolf Gold for my current record high for metal stacking overall value.
Yes.
And, of course, you can go to davidknight.gold if you want to start stacking gold or silver of your own. Lets him know you came through us.
And that's the thing I like about Tony, you know, is the fact that he lets you accumulate gold gradually, right, on a regular basis. That's a very powerful thing to do. You know, if you save regularly, and that is a great way to do it. And it also averages out the cost of the gold that's there. So you don't have to try to time it and buy a massive amount of it all at one spot, maybe pick a momentary high or low. But fortunately, it's gone up. And all the factors that allowed us to say that gold was on sale last year because of irrational exuberance about Trump, those are all still there. We still have the massive deficit. We still have the central banks that are accumulating it. We still have everybody looking to reset the financial system. And so you have all these different wannabe power centers are all accumulating gold at the same time. And then it is a real hedge against politically uncertain times, which is the kind of times that we live in right now.
Mm-hmm. And Tony works very hard to make sure he gets you all good deals. He's constantly busy. We, on our way back up from Texas, stopped in at his Denison location. It was wonderful. We got to hang out with him for a little bit. He got to meet our son. Our son got to meet Tony. And Tony very graciously sent him back with his first little piece of silver. So he actually has his own little stack of metals, and we need to continue to accumulate for him.
Very small stack of metals, although he's very small himself.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, folks. And that's right, Merry Christmas from us here at The David Knight Show. It's December 1st, which means that the Christmas season is officially here. And no one can fault you for playing Christmas music now. Marky Mark in New Jersey, thank you very much for the tip. He says, the part of Keynesianism everyone forgets is that the government needs to run surpluses in good times. It's not all deficit spending. Deficit spending should only be done in bad times.
Yeah, that's right. But it's
we're all deficit all the time, baby. No surpluses, ever.
That's right.
Wally Walrus, my Wolfpack collection is making money every month. And, of course...
Well, actually, the dollar is going down.
Yeah.
Don't keep massive amounts of money in your checking account because it's like a it's like leaking out. It's a container that leaks.
The government is continually stealing your value. Narrow Way, Narrow Gate Ministries. They got rid of the penny, and the stores are very low on pennies. They're beginning to round up to the nearest higher nickel.
Yeah.
The question becomes, when are they going to outmode the nickel? Because I can't imagine that's worth producing either.
Well, and the whole fallacy of all that stuff is that, the penny is the Federal Reserve is the one that really destroyed the penny. You know,
it's Trump also amazing to me how little fanfare we got when the penny was just done away with. One of the most famous sayings, at least when you hear it continually, is a penny saved is a penny earned.
Yeah.
The penny doesn't exist anymore. We got rid of it.
Yeah.
We just said, nah.
Because you'll own nothing and you'll earn nothing, right? You won't have a job because they ought to take it and you won't own anything either. So get rid of the penny. But, you know, you used to go buy things with pennies, right? And
Not in my lifetime.
Penny candy and stuff. Okay, so in your lifetime, you used to sell bubble gum for a penny at the video stores. But, you know, that's how inflation is running.
Bubble gum inflation.
Yeah, that's right. It's a bubble.
Real quickly, I know people asked about more pictures of the puppy. I sent one to Lance. You can pull it up. This is a picture of our son and the puppy. See, he can behave. We take very good care to monitor and make sure that he's calm and collected when he's dealing with our son. He's a very sweet dog, but he is a puppy. He wants to play. He gets very excited. And our son loves the puppy. He wants to play with him so badly. But they're both just a little bit too young to effectively play with each other. But they love each other, and they'll be the best of friends here soon. So there's your puppy and baby update, in case you were curious. Cute things.
Well, here's your update on... things, economic as well as pharmaceutical stuff. I don't have time to get into the pharmaceutical things, but I want to begin by talking about how cash-strapped Britain is selling off embassies. And when I saw this, I immediately thought of Pfizer shaking down three South American countries. Remember, it was a worldwide conspiracy to shut down anybody that didn't get the jab. And So you had three South American countries, and two of them went public with the threats from Pfizer, because Pfizer had, the governments were going to shut down travel and make it impossible to get in or out of these countries unless they gave the jab to their people. But they also knew that it was going to be harmful. They knew it was going to be harmful. It was the telltale sign, because they said, you're going to hold us harmless, even in terms of manufacturing defects and all the rest of the stuff. We want all of these liability protections, and we want you to collateralize that, to guarantee that, with assets that are outside of your country. Now, if that doesn't say that they know that they're committing a crime, what does? And so part of those assets, they said, we want to have you put up your embassies as collateral. And that's what's happening with the UK government now. They're trying to sell assets that they have in New York and other places. I mean, they had a big elaborate complex in Bangkok, Thailand. Of course, the man formerly known as Prince Andrew didn't want to stay there. He wanted to go to a private hotel so he could get his 10 hookers a day. But we'll have more on that tomorrow. Thank you for joining us. Have a good day.
Merry Christmas.
Yes. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Past to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.